Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Wednesday night, it's Thanksgiving Eve. I can't tell how loud this goddamn song is anymore. But you know what that means. It's time for the Mark Order Podcast. Schlong, episode 35. Pretty good.
Wow. When did I start? I don't even remember.
Do you think I can remember? I'm lucky I remember every week what number we're on.
That's a good point.
By the way, Jay Shell saying we are big stars.
Oh,
hey,
hi, Jay Shell. Jay Shell is. Oh, go ahead.
No, go say what you want to say with Jay Shell.
I think I shot Jay Shell out already for her recommendation about the C4 energy drink.
You did.
But I'll shout her out again. I had, I think it was strawberry watermelon. It was okay. It kept me going. It was good. It was real good. So thank you, Jay Shell. I'm going to try some other flavors out.
Then we have Rob Humphrey saying, here we go, the best part of Wednesday night.
Oh,
as much. I mean, I love us, Rob, but you did just watch Dynamite, and I would have to think that's slightly better.
I mean, we're pretty good. Let's not sell ourselves short here, Sean. Let's see what we got to do. Okay, that song just cut right off like we anticipated.
No fade.
Oh, man.
Nope, so just dove right in.
Yeah, I mean, it's every time I have to do this, I say to myself, hey, I'll throw the fade in on the end. But I don't. I just never do. One of these days, eventually, I'll find the time to edit it and we'll take care of it. But I do want to say, clearly, you could see this would be the normal, normally the two live crew, two for me, two for you, me and Schlong here on a Wednesday night. But we are so happy to be joined tonight by one of our friends, Mike Peterson. Mike Peterson.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Hey, hello.
I don't have a soundboard like Matt, so I can't play like applause or...
Hold on. I've got the right thing for this occasion.
Okay. We're waiting.
Silence?
Oh, wait. Well, not... Well...
Silence.
I don't like you guys anymore. Just kidding.
Oh. Ooh. Here's the thing, Mike. When Matt's not here, we don't have the soundboard, which is why I have to play all the audio through our little StreamYard here, which I don't have a problem doing, but, you know, I came from radio. Well, not real radio. I did college radio. So, like, I'm used to faders and, you know, potting things up.
Yep.
I need to get a board or something to integrate into this because I would love to have something to be able to fade things up. Maybe hit a button and play an applause sound effect. And at some point, Schlong, we've got to come up with, I've got to come up with like freemium music for, like just like parts of Little Tip of the Schlong. Cause if we play those now, we'll get booted right off the platform.
I don't even want to know.
Well, no, I mean, we may or may not have used, commercial music for the old Little Tip of the Schlong.
Oh.
Intro. We're not making money. Like, what?
Hey. We may or may not have used commercial music. May or may not. I don't know. It might not be. Who knows?
Did you get it off the back of the truck from Tony D'Angelo?
I don't know where it came from. All I know is that one day somebody said, hey, this would be cool to use. And I said, sure, let's do it. So we had used it. So we'll have to come with that. And Shalong, we're still working on our dark stuff. We got so much stuff to work on. There's just so much stuff. There's not enough time. It's Thanksgiving.
To know where is Kate? And I have right, an well, where Kate.
Where is Kate? Well,
all right. Who cares, to be honest? Who cares?
Honestly, you got somebody better tonight.
That's right.
And to be perfectly honest, you should be thanking me for my presence tonight. No, I'm kidding.
We should at least acknowledge that Kate was injured in a Fight Club brawl.
That's right.
As we all know, Kate is a member of Fight Club, and things got a little out of hand. She went above her weight class, and someone knocked her out.
Hey, I thought we didn't talk about Fight Club. Isn't that the number one rule?
Kate talks about it all the time. I mean, I'm pretty sure you hear her referencing it regularly.
She can also talk about it because I heard she doesn't go by her real name in Fight Club. She uses a pseudonym, if that's the right word. She uses the name Robert Paulson, from what I can tell.
Oh!
Her name is Robert Paulson.
All right.
Her name
that makes sense.
Is Robert Paulson.
That's everybody's name, actually.
We got the franchise player, Bad Blood, in the chat. He's from over at Bodyslam.net. Hey. He's doing great stuff over there. They have a Monday night review show. And I watch his Monday night review show. I hope I'm right, and I didn't just catch him on the one week he was. Because I watched last week, this week. But I know, I'm lying. I've actually watched the last couple weeks. But and yes, we just do just a tip because, well, can't handle the whole thing.
That's what Ryan says. But from what I can tell from context clues, it's just a tip. Just from context clues, it's just a tip. I mean, you know, there's not, it's just a tip.
Jesus.
So yeah, so Kate's not here because she got injured in a brawl at Fight Club, fighting as Robert Paulson. And then Matt's also not here. Ryan, where is Matt? You heard what happened.
If you guys are watching the news, you would have seen a story. Man killed by wife using broken crock pot.
Mm.
As we all know, if you listen to anything Matt talks about, this was him. He broke a crock pot. Yep. His wife, Ree, said she had enough. She took the glass shards and just jammed it into his neck. So, sadly, Matt is no longer with us. We will see about permanent replacements, but we do think there should be a mourning period, to honor something about him. We'll figure that out later.
Something.
All right.
His knowledge of the killer bees, I guess.
Also, I want to acknowledge it's the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast that the franchise is on, and it is a great podcast. Like I said, I've watched a couple episodes. I just was joking because with my luck, I would have named the wrong thing. So on Mondays, it's real good over at Body Slam, and Body Slam's doing a lot of good stuff. That's Cassidy Haynes' spot where he broke the Daniel Bryan news, and he's got Jay Shell's over there, and Carissa is over there. So he's out there recruiting and finding the best young talent. And Cass is a friend of the show, and now these guys all are. So it's a good time.
Even
so
better.
I'm promoting them.
Nice.
He's out there finding young talent, which is why I didn't come here looking for anybody.
No, we old.
I was gonna say we're old farts here.
So old.
They do like the Scotty Riggs gimmick. So he looks like he's sending them vibes for a Blue Chew Crew.
Blue Chew Crew.
I wish we got that Blue Chew money.
No.
Oh, man.
Somebody said Blue Chew our way.
Sweet Blue Chew money.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I don't have just Scotty Riggs. I have Buff Bagwell, too. Whatever. I'm not going to fight too hard for it. But there it is.
Hey, Siri, can I get that fat Blue Chew cash?
They pay.
Sorry, I missed that. Could you say it again, please?
You know what? You're useless.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah?
Mrs. Money said she thinks Kate threw Cody's belt back. That's why she's not here.
Oh, she's the worst.
The why would worst. You do that?
We'll talk I mean, about it.
It's worst.
I have a comment on that when we get there because, like, it was clearly for show, and that annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely get there. Yeah. We're going to get to Dynamite, of course. We always do. We're going to talk a little bit about Rampage. We're just bullshitting a little bit right now. If that's cool.
We have a lot of comments. I like going through them. That's fun.
Yeah, of course. Thanks to everybody who's watching live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We love the fact that you're watching live. And if you're listening in podcast form, thanks. You're not going to see me waving to you, but thank you. Thumbs up.
Or
imagine
or
a wave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike's got thumbs up. We apparently don't talk about Buff by Body Slam, but I think we should talk about Buff. Because I know his later, well, actually always was kind of out of it, but he still was the stuff.
We're not talking about Buff. We're not spending any time talking about Buff.
I actually have nothing more to say about him. I kind of ran out right after saying he's the stuff.
Listen, Judy Bagwell on a pole is all you need to know.
And Judy actually just passed recently.
That's right. He's got to find somebody new to shave his back and scrotum.
That's right.
Ryan is clearly broken up about it. He doesn't even want to say anything.
To be fair, I'd be pretty broken up too. I mean, Buff was the stuff.
He also was a, what was it, Cowboy for Angel, right? Wasn't he a male gigolo on that show?
Yeah, on Showtime, like that. Yeah,
I think, well, he was, I think, a legit male gigolo.
Oh no, yes. Schlong's right. Schlong is right.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't just for the show. Like that.
No,
yeah.
I know. Oh yeah. I think the site was called Cowboy for Angel, or Angels. And you could, like, book a gigolo, and he was legitimately one of the gigolos. But that's about all I want to talk about Buff Bagwell. So
then answer this, and you can read it and answer it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rob Humphrey wants to know, what did Aunt Money think of Ghostbusters Afterlife? Rob, I'm not going to give anything away, but I'll say this. I absolutely loved it. I want to go see it again in the theater. I absolutely loved it. I think it was exactly what people wanted out of the 2016 movie, but didn't get. And I think if you're a fan of the franchise, you should see it. It was a good movie. I thought it was
perfect. Can I say something that annoys me that has nothing to do with the movie?
Yes.
It sucks that Bill Murray and Harold Ramis had a feud off of Groundhog's Day and they couldn't get over it to ever do a third Ghostbusters together.
Yeah, you know, I do know that, well, from what I've read, I don't know Bill Murray personally, or I did not know Harold Ramis, but from everything I read was towards the end of Harold Ramis's life, they did kind of bury the axe. They were cool, but obviously he was in no shape, you know.
Yeah, because I think Harold had a script written at some point, I had heard. I mean, that could have just been urban legend, but...
No, there were plenty of scripts written. There was a... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
One of the rumors I had always heard was that the script for, I think it was the Xbox and PlayStation game of it, or was it the PlayStation 2 game? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was that one, and the way it was done was actually supposed to be the script for Ghostbusters 3.
I have heard that, but there was actually another script that was written. And I read it. It was called, because you could find it online. It was called Ghostbusters, I think, Hellbent, where they actually, like, go to hell. I read it years ago, you know, when you'd still dial up into AOL. Like, that's how long ago it was. But yeah, I remember reading that script, and it was weird. But you could tell, like, that was... definitely like Dan Aykroyd's script, because if you know anything about the franchise and the first script that he wrote, it was completely off the fucking wall, and they like reeled it into like a more realistic film. Like, they were supposed to be guys in outer space flying around in fucking rocket ships and all this weird shit. Yeah. And then they eventually got what they got. Yeah. It was very weird.
I would have loved that.
It would have been a completely different movie.
Yeah, it's true. Just like how I think it was Eddie Murphy was supposed to be yep. Winston.
Yes, they wanted Eddie Murphy for Winston. Bill Murray, I think it was Bill Murray, yes. Bill Murray was supposed to be Belushi.
Yep.
Belushi died. John Candy was supposed to be Rick Moranis. Again, I say supposed to be, but like, you know, it's actually like these are the people they wanted and it just didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
And there's weird stories too about like John Candy. Like, he wanted to play that character as like a German guy with a German accent and two giant dogs. Like, it just wouldn't have worked. It would have been so weird. So yeah, it was I thought it was a good movie. I'm seeing some of the stuff in the chat. And I agree with
not the only one to read Hellbent, apparently.
Yeah. That is definitely out there.
The game was good, like plot wise. I mean, it obviously went a little some weird places because it had to, because it's a game, so you have to go some places. But you can tell that they put a lot of thought, a lot of love into it. And I haven't seen Afterlife yet because of I was supposed to see it last week and it fell through. But based on what I've heard, and I don't know the whole story, but just the bits. I definitely see that, like, yeah, he definitely intended that game to be the third movie, because there's a lot of crossover from what I'm reading.
So I don't want to give anything up about the movie, because I think everybody, you know, I think you should see it if you're a fan of the franchise. It's, you know, you're not going to get anything from two in this movie, but that's not because they say like it didn't count. The story's got nothing to do with number two. You really need to know number one. You don't need to know, but if you know number one, you're going to get a lot of the inside jokes and like some more references, but this is really tied to number one. It's a nice way for them to pass the torch, right? Without making it feel like, you know, you've watched like an hour and a half of these old guys do this, and now it's just like, here's some young kids. Like, yeah. It was the perfect amount of nostalgia and new to make this all make sense. So I loved it. I still don't understand. I don't understand. There's a lot of like mixed reviews and like critic reviews that really didn't like it. I don't get it. I mean, listen, I like the franchise, so maybe I'm biased, but to be honest, I don't understand what they would have really hated about the movie. I thought it was a perfectly fine movie. Even if you're not a fan of the series, I thought it was a perfectly fine movie. And this will probably be the last thing, because I don't want to spend an hour on Ghostbusters. Nobody gives a shit. But Kyle said, here at a story recently that claimed one idea for Ghostbusters 3 was going to be Venkman getting killed in the early going, then becoming the ghost the team had to fight would have been interesting. That is a true rumor that I've heard before, and that I've read about, is the way that the way that Bill Murray said he would do another Ghostbusters would only be if he died. If he died in the movie, that would be the only way he'd come back and do it. Maybe that's why they never did it. Maybe he was just being a dick. But either way, I enjoyed it. Back to Rob Humphrey. I enjoyed it. If you saw it, I hope you enjoyed it. Schlong, go see it.
Like I said, I intended to, but the person I was supposed to go with, it fell through.
Yep.
But it's on my list because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. So this is...
It was good. Take it from me, because I'm a fan. It was good. I was not disappointed.
And truthfully, I didn't love it, but I didn't even hate 16 that much. It just, they missed a couple key things that you're supposed to get right about a Ghostbusters movie.
I didn't like that movie only because I didn't like that many people who were part of the cast. Like, I'm just not a fan of some of the people they cast in that movie. Like, I'm not a fan of any material they do. So, like, I just was never into it.
Also, you had four kooky, crazy people. You had no, like, sarcastic straight man that, like, you had no Venkman. You had no Winston or Egon. Like Ray was the only one in the first movie who was really out there. Everyone else was kind of like, and in this movie, it was like, oh, we're all the crazy people. We all say stupid shit. And I was like,
Yeah, it was just not what I would have expected. And again, like I said, I'm just like half the people who are in that cast, when I see they're in a movie, I don't make it a point to go see it because I'm just not a fan, right? Like, I don't care. I don't care that it was women. I don't care that it was a new story. Like, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just didn't like the casting, and I'm not a fan. So, but it is what it is. Guys, here's the other thing I want to talk about, because this isn't the cross rip. We're not going to talk about Ghostbusters for like an hour and a half.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's hey, other shows that do that. yeah, hey, Berg. Hey, Thanksgiving tomorrow. This is like our Friendsgiving, guys. Isn't that fun? We're here. We're partying. Yay!
Yay!
And Schlong, I know Kate loves it. I think you love it, too. Look what I got.
Sorry, I'm looking at the Casey Jones jacket behind you.
The Casey Jones jacket rule. Schlong, I got some things to take out of a box. Look, I have a giant box.
What's in the box?
I really do hope it's just a smaller box.
That would be fantastic, actually. That would absolutely be fantastic.
Big box, smaller box until he gets the actual.
Yeah, thing. like those Russian dolls.
Yes. Whoa. There's a lot of stuff in here, guys. Hold on. It's going to take me a while to get through this. Let's see.
I don't see any packing peanuts.
No, just paper.
Ah, darn.
Because that's going to save something. Here we go.
See you later.
That's all that was in that giant box.
That is fantastic.
That's
a great one.
This is the unrivaled tag team pack. Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Looks pretty good. I know they get a ton of glare off this thing. There we go. They look pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good. They were good figures. When you first pulled it out, I saw it Scorpio. I was like, wait, they made a Men of the Year, and I forgot that goes so far back that it's Kaz.
Yeah, that's the unrivaled. I guess they've been doing tag team packs on like Amazon exclusives and stuff like that.
I might have to get one.
Guess what, guys?
What?
I got another giant box. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, we enjoy because we need to make sure that we hear exactly how loud you are, because a Mrs. Money is saying she's trying to sleep and you're very loud.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep it down. This is the loudest part. See? Oh, this actually is a good one.
Oh,
I see it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so this is the unrivaled, it's a rivals pack. So not a tag team, but a Johnny Moxley and Darby Allin. Pretty sweet.
Nice.
Where's the thumbtacks on the skateboard?
Well, I think this was prior to him kind of running the skateboard tack gimmick, but the actual board looks pretty cool.
Is it a tech deck?
I don't know, and I never will know. You can ask Matt, because he'll open
that's
it.
Sorry, you don't open them up.
Matt ordered probably like 8 of them, and he's going to open one of them.
Is he going to make it explode? But how is he going to open them when he's dead?
Well, he will.
Then we'll ask Ree.
He'll haunt his wife until she does it. I'm telling, she's out back right now, skeet shooting his figures. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, she'll open them. It's true.
She will open them. So there you go. Our unboxing for the night. More figures. In giant boxes. Just, I don't understand it. And Mrs. Money, that's the end of the boxes, okay? You can get, I'll keep it down now, I promise. So gentlemen, Thanksgiving tomorrow. Any big plans? Schlong, you're not hosting, right?
No, my parents host, but I make the turkey. Just do a favor for my mom, because I'll smoke it out on the smoker. So
smoking out the turkey. Yeah, so bro.
Nice. But I brine it and all, so that's a pain in the ass. I forgot how much of a pain that is.
So Schlong, do you smoke it? Are you smoking it right now, or you smoke tomorrow?
No. I'll do it high and hot, because I don't feel like you can do it low and slow, but they're harder to time. So I'm just going to do it high and hot and get it done. But it's still better than in the oven. And again, I'm brining it right now in salt, brown sugar, and water.
Oh, that sounds nice. Sounds nice. Mike, you doing anything special tomorrow? Hosting, going somewhere?
I'm going to my sister's house. I'm going to go play with the dogs all day and eat food. So, I mean, you can't go wrong.
Nice. Yeah. And if you're into the football thing, football tomorrow.
Oh, I'm ready.
If that's your thing.
I'm ready for football, man.
Well, then we should probably get on with this show so that we're not up to like 4 in the morning. So everybody's well rested for tomorrow.
Aw, but yeah, I loved being up until 4 in the morning talking wrestling.
I mean, who doesn't?
That's true.
But let's get to it. So guys, let's talk a little bit about Rampage from November 19th last week. So we had it was a pretty good show. We're just going to run through it pretty quick here. We had Darby Allin coming to the ring with Sting for his match against Billy Gunn, and Darby Allin defeated Billy Gunn. I believe it was with the coffin drop. And then Billy Gunn's the Sons of Gunn attacked. Who? Darby, who? I don't know. Who?
They're called the Ass Boys. I don't know why you're...
Who? All right, whose gimmick are you infringing on?
Danhausen.
Okay, well, don't steal from Danhausen. Listen, he needs all the gimmick money he can get right now. He's the one
putting it out in the world, wanting people to call them the Ass Boys. I'm just helping him out.
Well, then make sure you say according to Dan. Like, give credit to Dan Housen.
I thought you were tied in enough to know where that was coming from.
Listen, Schlong, there's so much shit going on. I can't remember whose gimmick is what anymore, okay? I just want to make sure we're giving credit where credit's due. So the Ass Boys, according to Dan Housen.
And now the internet, because that's what gets trending and that's what they're called.
And everybody, and you got to love that Dan Housen. So.
You do. You do. I did say, we'll talk about later tonight, but there should have been something that was given to Dan Housen tonight on Dynamite. We'll talk about it. The Ass Boys attack Darby after the match, and then Sting beats their asses to make the save, but Billy gets involved and blah, 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 whatever. QT Marshall challenges CM Punk to a match. We'll get to that later. We have Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill in her TBS Championship Tournament match, and Jade defeats Red Velvet. I don't think, Schlong, any of us thought that Red Velvet had a shot here.
No, it's a shame. I actually think Velvet gave her a good match, though. Probably one of her better ones.
I've always kind of said that, Velvet and Jade have incredible chemistry together.
I think you're right. I mean, when you look at the first match that Jade had in AEW, it was Red Velvet. I mean, I know it was, you know, Shaq and Jade versus Red Velvet and Cody, but I mean, Red Velvet gave, you know, her good segments in that first match, you know, so I do think they have good chemistry together. And I think this was a good match. I just, you know, Schlong, we've talked about it a lot on this show. We don't know where they're going with this TBS championship, and it just worries me. I feel like they're going to give it to Jade, but like, I don't know if that's the right choice.
It's weird because I almost feel like, and I know this shouldn't, I guess we all want the TBS title to be the workhorse title because the TNT title kind of was and tends to be, where they have more matches defending it and they're always awesome. So you're like, all right, let me make the TBS title that. So no one wants it to be Jade because that can't be the case. So it's almost like the women's world title fits her better than the TBS. But that's because we all assume it's going to be a workhorse title. It may not. Right. I mean, she's a star. Whether she may not be the best in the ring, like Rob Humphrey saying he says she's horrible to watch in the ring. I don't think she's horrible. I just don't think she's like four moves that she does
she
well
can't,
in every.
She can't go consistently like 20 minutes, you know? Like she can't. And that's the problem.
But if you can put her in like a 10-minute squash, she's fantastic.
But sure. I mean, but how many times can you give that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's exactly. The problem. You got to give her a match star. Once in a while.
I mean, the problem is she's a star. Like, you put her on the screen, she gets lots of attention. She can talk. I can see her making the rounds on shows and really being. Does she need the belt to do that? No. Does it help? Sure. There's also a story where I could see her legitimately losing to take her character to another level because it's her first loss and she responds in some insane way. But I don't know. There's a couple comments in the chat. Kyle and Rob, I'm ignoring them, not because I want to get back to them when we talk about the women's match later, because your comments play into my feelings on that. So I'm trying to keep everything organized. I'm with you. I worry that they're going to push Jade. I don't think enough credit is given to Red Velvet for how much she has improved in the year she's been in AEW. I mean, she went from dark, taking tons of losses and being just very mediocre at best to really kicking butt now. And yeah, she has moments and matches where you're like, but overall very good. And she throws herself around like a maniac. She's got a little bit of that Darby Allin in her where she's just like, I'm coming at you full force. Catch me. And it can actually be quite scary to watch. That's one area where Jade was very good. I will say they told a fun story with Jade where Jade just wouldn't get off her feet, which if you're going to have an extended Jade match, that is the story that she just won't go down and someone has to take her down.
Right.
But we'll get to it because it directly relates to the match tonight where I have other theories, but
yeah, we're definitely going to talk about this tournament again, so we won't get too deep into it now. But I think this was a perfectly serviceable match for Rampage, and it obviously keeps the tournament going. There were a couple promos, you know, that kind of leaned into some discussions tonight. You know, Thunder Rosa promo on Jamie Hayter. We'll talk about that match. CM Punk accepts QT Marshall's challenge. We'll talk about that. Eddie Kingston, we find out, is going to take on Daniel Garcia on Rampage. Winter is Coming is now set for December 15th. So we know that we're going to get a Winter is Coming show again this year, which was pretty good last year. I think that's where Kenny won the title last year. Who knows what can happen this year. Jay Shell, by the way, saying she had a great kick out at Almost Three. Yeah. Yeah.
We do have to acknowledge that was I bought it. I was like, oh, yeah. Wow. Like, that was a... They're usually not that well timed. They're usually not that well timed. So I want to give credit where credit's due. That was...
Yeah. No, again, absolutely.
We'll get into it later because she's the whole... Like, actually... And I don't think they use Red Velvet enough, so that's the one other comment I'll say, is like, you built her up as kind of a star in your division, and you just let her sit, which I think has been the main problem with the women's division, is they'll build people up and then let them sit, and that helps no one. Give me them regularly, and Red Velvet is someone I really think, given enough time and matches, could be huge for them if they just gave her more to do.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things, and I feel like we've seen it with a number of the women in the division, right? I think we had seen it for a while. I mean, I had been pretty critical of Britt Baker, you know, early on. I didn't love her in-ring stuff. We had seen good stuff, then bad stuff, then good stuff. She kind of was going back and forth, like two steps forward, three steps back. But she seemed to have gotten in a place now where she is having consistently good matches, right? I think the same thing, we had been kind of seeing that out of Red Velvet, right? Red Velvet would have a really good match and then a couple stinkers and then a good match. And then maybe it looked like she was going to kind of take off and she didn't, right? And I think now she's kind of back to, she had a good match here. Let's hope she can now show us another consistently good match and then another consistently good match and it won't be an issue. We even saw the same thing out of like Anna Jay and Tay Conti Schlong. Remember there was a period where Anna Jay just looked like shit, and then all of a sudden she clicked, and it was off. Same thing with Tay Conti. So I think they have plenty of women with talent, and I think Jade is one of those women. We just have to see the consistency and the progress. And that's what's tough, to your point, Schlong. It's like, if we don't see her and they don't give her anything, then like, how are we going to get there? That's the problem. And
it can't be done on... behind the scenes, like just practicing, or even in indie shows, because granted, indie shows will have live matches, but I think TV is a huge deal because, one, you wrestle for the camera, you learn to do that, but two, I think what happens to these women, and it happens to male wrestlers too, but I'm the reason I'm specifying women here is when we're talking about two, because they get fewer matches. Mm-hmm. They realize they're getting a chance to be on TV and they're very excited and they're trying to do as much as they can in the time they're given to show they should be there. And it almost, they go too fast and they try to do too much too soon. And it's like, if they knew that they would be given week after week opportunities, I don't think you'd see that. I think they would feel more comfortable knowing I can give you a better match because I'm going to be here next week and I'm going to be here the week after that. Like, you don't have to see everything I can do in five minutes. We're getting so Jay Shell has another example, Layla Hirsch.
Yep.
Layla Hirsch is awesome. I love her style. Cool. She had that great NWA Empower match against their champ, and she carried that match. Then Rob Humphrey saying the Bunny. I think the Bunny is underrated in the division.
Yeah,
she's carried that as the heel.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
She has been, I know you have Britt, but like Britt doesn't wrestle all the time. The Bunny has been the heel that wrestles everyone.
Yep.
And then Jay Shell says, I want my big swole.
I'm just going to say, who doesn't want more Big Swole?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Big Swole is healthy or not. I can't make that, because I feel like if she was, they'd be using her, because clearly they loved her, because she was the one that they had with Britt. Like, she was the...
She's so good in the ring,
the star there. And I feel like they've tried a couple times, and I know she has Crohn's, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it. She's still very supportive of the company, so I feel like if she was just sitting... being unused, you wouldn't see that. I think she'd be probably a little more quiet about it. and I don't want to speak to someone's health. I am the farthest thing from an insider. I have no inside information. I'm just taking based off past experience where
right.
every time she's kind of built up, she's had a couple, you know, pushbacks. Apparently she's a champion in Battle Pro right now per Jay Shell, but is she wrestling? Because those indie titles, you can go months without defending that title. I mean, that's right. kind of like how they work. Listen, if she's healthy, she should absolutely be. If she is healthy, she should have been in the TBS tournament. And if she wasn't, it should have been because she's in a feud with someone else, because she can wrestle and she can talk and you need that. And she does it very well. Now, I will say, if they're holding her out so that Jade wins the TBS and Swole comes in as a challenger, because Swole is believable there, I'd be very okay with that, because that'd be a fun feud.
I think that right now, they're not that they're stuck, but I think that they've clearly got all their eggs in this basket of the tournament, right? Yep. And I don't think that's necessarily a problem, only because they're telling pretty good stories through this tournament. And they're not necessarily like just dropping the story as soon as these matches happen. These stories are continuing. We'll talk about it again, as Ryan said. We'll talk about it later when we talk about the Thunder Rosa Jamie Hayter match tonight. But I have a feeling that once this tournament wraps up, you know, they will pull some of these other women in, obviously, to go after this title. But I think we'll be able to hopefully expand some more stories. I'm with you, Ryan, as far as like you're saying, you know, they get one match a week. They try to show as much as they can, you know, and I think we've kind of commented on that before, is like with some of these matches, like just take a breath, slow down, and it'll be plenty to get you through. But we should also be fair, because we've seen plenty of that out of the guys, too, and they get plenty of time on TV. So I think that's just maybe a problem across the board with some of the younger talent sometimes, where they're trying to go so fast that you just got to slow down and breathe. And again, I'm the furthest thing from a professional. So this is just my thought is like, you know, we've said it before, Schlong, talking about some of these matches and recaps, like just take a minute, catch a beat, and then, you know, move on.
Way better. And apparently Big Swole is wrestling this Friday at WrestleCade. So if this is the case that she's healthy, I'm okay that right now, as long as within the next month, she's in some kind of program, because she was a star of this division and should be back.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's simply just because of all the stories they've got going on with this tournament. They're trying to just get through this tournament and then hopefully...
She might not have been around when they started and now they're here.
True. And it seems like a lot of these stories that they kind of pulled into this tournament... were stories from prior to the tournament that they've now stretched out throughout it. So we'll see what happens. I think there are certainly women that we've mentioned here, Layla Hirsch, Swole, you know, the Bunny's been pretty active, but not really involved in many stories. Even Penelope Ford, she's one of the ones that I'd still say she hasn't been like consistently great, but recently when she's been in the ring, she's been serviceable, right? So she's gotten better, because there was this period too where she was like, she had a pretty good match and then like stinker, right? Like just not great. Yeah. But she's been consistent. They have a lot of these women that they can certainly use moving forward, and I think they'll have more stories with this other belt. But Schlong, like we say every week, we just have to be optimistic, right? Because in the past they have definitely failed us.
Yeah, they haven't earned the right, I mean, for optimism, yet we give it. And I want to point, that's before we even get to darker elevation talents, like Diamante, Kiera Hogan.
Sure.
These talents down there that are just kicking ass. Kylan King hasn't been on darker elevation because she's doing it elsewhere, but she was out there. Like, they had these talents that could easily just, I still believe, I mean, no, now no one will support me. Well, there will be some, but the mainstream wouldn't, because they have the TBS title, but I still think they could make a tag division out of this. I think you should have three women's matches. Sky, Jay Shell doesn't need another in Sky Blue, maybe one of the best natural baby faces I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. They should have three women's matches a week. I hate to give credit to Kate's Fight Club boss Sean, but I think he said it, two on Dynamite, one on Rampage. Or you can flip it around, but you have the talent to do it.
Yep.
Having two is not enough.
Schlong, Rampage can be an all-women show. Like, they that can totally be. an all women's show. They could even make it two women's matches and one men's. Like, even I'm not saying because I don't want it on Dynamite, right? But they could totally have it be its own show, and it would be totally fine. I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. I mean, you probably will. There will certainly be people who have a problem with it. What
people
am I saying?
Would have a problem if they added a third match, but I guess I'm with you. I just feel like, I think what his point was being is two. When you have 3 hours of TV, two women's matches is not enough. You should have one per hour. And sure. If you're really worried that your division isn't built up enough, then give some real feuds on Dark and Elevation where you can build, because there is enough carryover where if you build up talents there, look at Fuego. I mean, regardless of how you feel about him, he built himself on a vlog and he built himself up on Dark and Elevation. I know you don't like him, but you know, fine. Powerhouse Hobbs. We'll go with someone you do like.
There you go. That makes sense.
Powerhouse Hobbs was a dark talent. Like, these real guys talent. Start there.
Yeah. But I like Fuego.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, you don't know anything. Get out of here.
Oh, so. we can fight after this. I'm ready, sir. Boy. Put up your fisticuffs.
I have a shirt. I support Fuego. Or Joe, Asian Joe makes me support Fuego.
But like, you can build women's feuds. Like, they had Diamante versus Swole on Elevation. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Swole should be above Elevation, but I'm still saying, like, you could build women's feuds down there, and then that's off the lame excuse that you don't think they're ready for TV, like primetime TV. I still don't think that excuse holds water, but
yeah. No. I'm with you. I think the only argument I would have, right, is like, we know Rampage, they put three matches in the hour. They schedule it that way. If you look at like Dynamite tonight, I think they had like 1.5 matches per hour. Like, this was one of the lighter wrestling Dynamite. So it wouldn't I'm not saying I don't want one women's match per hour, right? Like, if they did it, I'd be fine. But there are certainly nights where they don't program the show that way, and I think tonight was like an example of that.
We're talking law of averages, like,
sure.
Where it's just like when you did the math over time, it's like they're sure. Basically doing three per week.
Yeah,
you know, they should end it with, then you could have a rotation of women coming in. You'd be seeing Layla Hirsch more. You'd be seeing these people more. Because you can't have the same match every week. So,
yeah,
we're spending a while on this, but it just happens to be the one area I'm not as positive as I am on everything else. Because I'm like, they could be doing so much more with what they have there.
Yeah, again, the hope for me is that they're trying to put everything to this tournament, and then hopefully we'll go from there, right? Which we've wanted to see them do before, and it just never worked. This time, I've been really into this tournament. The stories have been good. They've kept it kind of moving forward and keeping you invested. Now the optimism has to be that they will move forward with this stuff after the tournament ends, because other tournaments, they just haven't done that. Yeah. But let's wrap up Rampage, guys. The last match of the night was Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. Towards the end of this match, the Young Bucks try to come out and get involved, even though they are not cleared for action. But Christian comes out to chase them away with a chair. Adam Cole goes up the ramp to make sure there's no issues. And Bobby Fish gets caught in the snare trap. Adam Cole does not go back to make the save. And Bobby Fish taps. So the baby faces celebrate to end the show. So the Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are on a little bit of a roll here against and Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. Boy, Adam Cole's on a little bit of a losing streak. Mm-hmm. Still way over, but on a little bit of a losing streak. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything else about Rampage, but I thought Rampage was a serviceable episode. It was pre-taped, last week, but it was still a good show. I thought it was pretty good. I avoided spoilers, so I was interested.
I always enjoy Rampage. It's a nice, fun hour.
Yeah. I've every now and then, you'll see like a dud of a match on Rampage, but overall, it's a good time.
Yeah. I think that, listen, 10 o'clock on a Friday night, wrestling, sure, I'll take it. I'll take the hour, regardless of what they're putting in front of me. Well, gentlemen, I think it's time that we take a little break and reset to get ready for Dynamite, recap and Dynamite. So, Schlong, you know, usually I feel like I ask everybody else about this, but Schlong, do you know that we're part of a network?
No, I don't listen to the show.
Mike, we're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Did you know that? Mike had no idea. Mike is getting up and walking away, which is amazing.
I gotta love the physical comedy, but
he's just walking away. He had no idea.
I did not know that. That actually just blew my mind.
Well,
sorry.
We're on the Shining Wizards Network. So the flagship Monday night show, the Shining Wizards just celebrated their 10th anniversary. If you didn't check out that show, you can go back in their archives and listen to it or go to their YouTube and watch the show. It's a lot of fun to watch like this show. But Schlong, do you know there's a lot of other content on the Shining Wizards Network? Schlong, did I lose you? Sorry.
For like a second, and I was like, "Oh great, I don't know how to get us into commercial."
No. All I was doing the same gimmick, Schlong. Like, did you know there's a ton of other shows on the Shining Wizards Network?
Apparently, I mean, we're the best.
There's a ton of other shows on the Shining Wizards Network, and while I think we're the A show, there's a lot of other stuff you should listen to. So sit back and listen to some of these words from some of the other great programming on the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years, but when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and it's still available on all podcasting platforms. Check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Brea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network, where three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
All right, folks, we're back here on the Mark Order podcast. And before we move on, I want to mention our cool free stickers. Guys, if you haven't gotten your stickers, just reach out to us. You can find us on all social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Mark Order Pod. Just hit us up, give us a follow, slide up in our DMs, and give us a name and address on where to send stickers. We'll send them anywhere worldwide. We've got a few left, so we can still send them out until we got to do a reorder. Believe it or not, Schlong, we're running low on stickers. But that's a good problem. That's a good problem. And I want to thank all of the people who've hit us up and asked us for stickers. Roland, the Mott Spock and Faith, David, Chris Butt, Kyle Tyson, Matt Jarvis, Braden Berg, Cassidy Haynes, Joe Walsh, Mike, thank you.
You're welcome.
Asian Joe, and even our friends over at the Dirty Heels podcast hit us up to send us some stickers, or send them some stickers, excuse me. So
I'm getting yelled at by Jay Shell on why I haven't sent her stickers. I'm blaming Kate. Kate's your mentor, and Kate didn't send them. That's all her fault.
Jay Shell, I'm telling you right now. Jay Shell, I'm looking right here in the camera. Jay Shell, hit us up with a DM. I will get it. I will add you to the list. I will send it out. They'll go in the mail Friday, and you'll get them. Don't worry, Jay Shell. Just hit us up. Tell me where to send them. I'll get them out. Don't worry about it.
Jay Shell, run. Just run. Run as fast as you can.
Don't.
Run. Just
Mike,
go.
Mike, you did it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did do it.
You did it. And I sent you stickers. Come on.
Gonna do it. Yeah, I did it.
And also, because she's not just because she's talking to us tonight, I should say, but everyone should follow Jay Shell's JayChelle Nicole, NICOLE on Twitter, because she now works for Body Slam and is doing really good stuff. And she's a big supporter, and I support her. And there you go.
Thanks for supporting us, Jay Shell. We support you. Just hit us up, seriously, Jay Shell. I'll send you stickers. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
I think Jay Shell's written something like 60 articles in like 2 weeks.
It's too much.
Oh,
slow down.
Wow.
Slow down, Jay Shell. Don't burn yourself out. Slow down.
Seriously. Slow down. Holy crap.
It's all about pacing. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Slow down.
I mean, if
I've never written,
it,
but slow down.
Jay Shell, keep killing it.
Yeah, seriously, kill it. All right, guys. It's that time of the night. We're just going to run through the rankings real quick. We're not rapping tonight. Our rapper extraordinaire is not here.
I'm very sad.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I signed up tonight.
I mean, it's fun to see the magic happen live, Mike. I'm not going to lie.
I wish I could.
But we can't hold a candle. We can't hold a candle to Millionaire Matt and his rapping skills.
Nope.
So, we'll we're not going to steal a gimmick. That's not our thing here. We try not to steal gimmicks. I know Rob Humphrey is demanding raps. That's not how it works. It's Matt's gimmick. We're not gonna.
Yeah, I wish Matt had like a video to plug in where he just rapped the rankings.
That would, I would actually like love that. Yeah.
I mean, if there was ever, Ryan, I'll say this. If there was ever a way where Matt could pre-record his raps, I would certainly play them. I would play them.
I mean, there is a way to do it. He just has to be willing to.
I don't,
and no, Jay Shell, no rapper Ryan.
No. No rappers tonight. We're going to run through this
real
quick.
What about a rap and rate? Can we get rap and rate?
Oh, please, we don't
want
tonight.
Not tonight. I have to.
I cannot deal with
rate. There's a headspace I have to get in for that, and I'm just not.
We need rap and rate.
I am not dealing with rate tonight. Ryan, for the love of God, no rate, please. Not tonight.
Yes. I'm telling you, I can't. Yes. It's just not there.
Thank God. Okay.
I'll make an appearance sooner than later.
Oh, dear God. All you people who ask about rate, you're the worst.
I love rate.
Oh, my rate, God, please. Rate. All right, guys. So rankings, really quick. On the men's side, we know our champions are Hangman Adam Page, and he's the best. And Sammy Guevara, he's also the best. That's why they're the champions. Number one contender, Brian Danielson, followed by Kenny Omega, but that's going to change quickly.
Yeah.
3, Scorpio Sky, 4, Jungle Boy, and 5, Amiro. So clearly, these rankings are going to shake up at some point. For the women, Britt Baker is our champion. Number 1, Jade Cargill. 2, Thunder Rosa. 3, Nyla Rose. 4, Riho. And 5, Chris Statlander. Okay. And then on the tag team side, Lucha Brothers, still our champions. Our number one contenders are Jurassic Express, followed by the Young Bucks, FTR, Santana and Ortiz. That's got to change. They've got to get higher. And then the Gun Club. Jesus, dear God, no. Please, no. No Gun Club. No.
Before I move to Dynamite,
yes.
Again, I'm trying to. We have another good supporter who actually wrote something that Matt would probably love. It is a, like, I think it's like a history of ROH. It's 2,500 words of the Punk Joe series from ROH.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Kyle Sparks, and you can follow him at Twitter at Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Sparks, just as it sounds. So if you guys go check his stuff out too, because we're huge.
It's Kyle K. Sparks, I believe.
Is that what it is? Did I miss that?
Yes.
All right. Oh, you're right. I literally just read over that K.
Boy,
so
oh,
Kyle
boy.
K. Sparks. Sorry, Kyle. But again, we're big. Matt, especially if you were here, we're big ROH people. So I assume some of our fans are huge ROH people. So there you go.
Kyle, I just want to take this moment on behalf of, I guess just me, of the Mark Order podcast, to apologize for the unprofessionalism from Ryan for getting your handle wrong. I'm sorry. I'm glad I was able to correct it.
You don't get paid.
I'm glad I was able to correct it for you. But yeah, check out Kyle K. Sparks on Twitter. He's putting out some good stuff as well.
This is why I love spell check. I cannot catch my stuff like that.
My goodness. Just use your eyes, man. Use your eyes.
I do. They go quickly.
Oh, gentlemen.
See, Mike, this is what it's like. See, you feel the tension now that you're in the room. You think it's you think it's all fun when you're just a bystander there watching through the lens, through the YouTube. But now then you come in, you feel it's real.
It's real.
So
I'm waiting for that cage match, man. I'm waiting for it.
No, this is the Two Live Crew. We're a united front.
Oh. So what are? Well, I mean, Two Live Crew and Top Mike. You're,
plus Mike.
Yeah, Top Mike with the what is it? Top the guest Mike. The guest track.
Yeah, why not?
It's the Two Live Crew featuring Top Mike.
That's right.
Yeah, see? That's where we got it. So, guys, let's run through Dynamite. It's our Thanksgiving edition of Dynamite tonight on Thanksgiving Eve. The show opens with the intro. We get CM Punk making his entrance to the ring for the opener. MJF interrupts. Shocking, MJF would interrupt. But he asks if it feels good to be interrupted and says Punk really hurt his feelings when he turned down the handshake last week, and that was almost as bad as when he quit, took his ball, and went home like a little bitch. But you know, the pipe bomb was great. It was legendary, good promo. It's fair to say the pipe bomb is Punk's best moment, but every MJF moment is the best. And unlike Punk, MJF's not a one-trick pony. He responds, or I'm sorry, he respects him and what he's done, and even that he's straight edge, although he never thought straight edge man could look so much like a meth addict. But if he looked like Punk, he'd have to start his day with 8 shots of whiskey just to look in the mirror. His grievance is people would ask Punk who he wanted to wrestle, and he'd list everyone under the sun, but not MJF. And he can pretend he's not interested, but the truth is he doesn't want anything to do with MJF. Who could blame him? He's been a big fish in a small pond on the mic his whole career, and standing opposite MJF, he's nothing but a minnow. He's going to finish him just like his UFC career. And you can drop the little pipe bombs all you want, because he's MJF. He drops nukes. If he's so hung up on Punk never mentioning him, that was by design, because the last thing he wanted to do was feed his ego. Punk is in MJF's head, which probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a poster of Punk on MJF's wall. Doesn't change the disappointment, because he always heard about the great MJF last week. He shut MJF up without saying a single word. Punk's had 7 days to think of good zingers. All he could come up with was the low-hanging fruit. You know, he thinks he's somebody. What he's done is revolutionary, but the reality is he's a less famous MJF. Man, I have to say, like, this was just part of this promo, and it was fire from the start. But MJF does go back, says that it was almost what he wanted. The phrase perfectly encapsulates Punk's whole career. His whole comeback run, excuse me, and he supposes it's true. He gets cut off briefly by Miz Chance, because Punk basically said MJF is a less famous Miz.
That's a dig at two people.
Fantastic.
God.
And nostalgia is a drug that makes us misconstrue our memories. Punk is nothing but nostalgia. MJF, of course, was a fan. Nobody could touch Punk in the ring or on the microphone. Because since coming back, he struggled to beat the easiest opponents. And Schlong, I wanted to call that out specifically, because we've kind of talked about that being a story, right? That Punk has been struggling even with opponents he should be handling quite easily. But what happened to the renegade ass kicker, the outsider? Because he might as well be out preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect. It's quite fantastic. But the thing is that MJF can see Punk, or see through him even. Claims to have been back for the younger talent, but also for a boatload of money. He can't fix pro wrestling from a couch in Chicago, but he sat on that couch for 7 years. He's too busy writing comics nobody read and acting in movies that nobody saw. Or because he was terrified that he couldn't hang, or never could in the first place. If other company looked at him like a cult hero who was being held down, and now here he is, every opportunity to prove them wrong, or prove the people right. But can he? You know, there's so much more to go through, Schlong. I can't go through this whole thing. But basically. No. There are a couple other moments where MJF does call out Triple H, right? He kind of makes reference to Punk and Triple H and a couple other people. It was fantastic. I loved this opening promo. And Schlong, I said it in the Discord. Mike, I also said it in the Discord that this was the second time in 2 weeks they opened with no wrestling, and they don't often do this. And I don't even know if they've ever done this kind of twice in a row for two consistent weeks.
No, I don't think they've ever done it the two consistent weeks like that. I think the last time they even opened the show like that, I almost want to say it was it Brody Lee when he won the TNT championship?
Maybe. I can't even remember back that far. That sounds crazy, but I just can't remember.
I don't remember. Like, I don't ever remember them opening with that kind, you know, like that two straight, right. Even once, let alone two in a row.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last week with the cowboy shit, you know, and Hangman Adam Page, and Bryan Danielson, and I think that's clearly setting up that story. And I think that clearly here now we're setting up this feud, right? You know, and Schlong, the whole time I'm kind of watching this, I was just thinking about Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, right? That short program to get to Full Gear, that was 2 weeks. That was literally 2 weeks. The interruption, well, maybe 3 weeks, okay? He interrupted, then Punk called him out, then they had the in-ring thing, right? And then the next week they kind of had a backstage thing, but they didn't really do anything. I'm not really counting that. So there was a short build there, right? Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was at the interrupted show where Eddie made that interruption.
Yeah.
On Punk. I was there, man. It was great.
It was. But the only reason I bring this up is because this is now week two of this build. This is week two. Yep. And they give us this promo, which, you know, I get, you know, like Rob Humphrey said, he thought this segment went on forever. And I get it. It was definitely long. It was 20 minutes. Like, I looked at the clock. It was 20 minutes. It was long. But I didn't think it was too long because everything made sense. Like I said, Schlong, we talked about this before where we said, you know, commentary was kind of mentioning a few times in some of Punk's matches that he wasn't able to easily put this person away. Now MJF is calling it out. We had kind of speculated, is this going to come into a story at some point? Well, here it is. MJF is calling it out. A lot of barbs back and forth, you know, from each person. I thought it was all great. And we're starting to see a more fired up Punk now, right? Remember, what did he say towards the end? Like, how about I punch you in the needle dick, right? Like, this is, you know, a little edgier Punk than we've gotten since he's been in AEW. He hasn't necessarily had a feud that like this with an opponent that he can kind of go back and forth with like this. I mean, Eddie, he can go back and forth with on the mic, but this type of animosity between the two sides isn't really there until now. So, Schlong, I'd like your take on this, but just know I loved every minute of this. I didn't think it went too long. I thought it was fine. And if this is week two of this build to something, who knows if it's going to be winter is coming, if it's going to be Battle for the Belts, or if it's going to be something else, you know, the first Dynamite on TBS in Newark, New Jersey. I'm excited.
I think there's a little wishful thinking on your part on that one.
Listen, it's not necessarily wishful thinking. Yes, we'll be in the building, but I'm just thinking of places where they can put, you know, kind of their first match, right? Because it would either have to be Winter is Coming, or you would think they'd put it on the first Dynamite on the new network, or Battle for the Belts. But to me, that doesn't make sense because I think that's just going to be every title defended.
The first Dynamite makes the most sense. Make sure everyone knows to transfer over. So I understand Rob's point of view in the sense that Dynamite almost always kicks off with awesome matches. And I get this is 2 weeks in the row of talking, but I'm okay with that because you do have to change it up every now and again just to keep it from feeling formulaic. One of the complaints about WWE is that they almost always start with talking. So people are like, this is the same formula week after week after week after week. So if they do this again, I will be kind of maybe a little annoyed in the sense it's like, I do like starting with wrestling, but 2 weeks in a row makes you feel a little different. Also, you have two of the best talkers in all of wrestling. One of the best of all time in Punk, and one of the best right now in MJF going at it. And the crowd was loving it. So I think that might have even extended things more than they might have planned, because you couldn't walk away when you have a crowd eating out of the palm of your hand like they did. And being on Twitter, it was very clear that Twitter loved it too. So this was loved by whoever saw it. And apparently Jay Shell's reporting fight viewers heard commentators saying segments needed to be moved around. This justifies my thing. I think they saw the crowd was into this and said, don't end it. Keep going. You're never going to have this type of moment again. You can't manufacture this. When you feel it, you go. And this, and the real insults mixed with the, like, the bullshit wrestling stuff worked really well. The call, telling MJF that he's been replaced by Britt Baker as a pillar is both complimentary to Britt and an insult to MJF, because it moves him off of where he thinks he belongs, which is brilliant. The whole you're gonna have to wait until Tony has a daughter that you can marry. Yep. That's like, oh god, those digs were great. And then MJF digs back about how Punk does sound kind of ass kissy of like, I like this guy and I like this guy and I like this. It was perfect. Like, again, I was loving it at the time, and I'm loving it now in retrospect. And now this is two feuds in a row. Like, Eddie Kingston was all the matches up until Eddie Kingston were just Punk's first TV matches. Eddie Kingston, to me, was his first wrestling feud in 7 years. But that was just like his first drink. This is now like he's at the bar, sitting down, having a good time. Like, he's finally, like, he's back, because this is as real of a wrestling feud as you can have. There's really no reason for these two to hate each other, but they do, which is shows you that it's just wrestling, and just letting them go out. And I can't wait for their match, because MJF tells great stories in the ring, and that's Punk's strength. So I think you're going to have a match that's very story oriented, and that's my favorite type. So yeah. And I honestly don't know who's going to win. That's what I love most about this. I can make an argument either way for who wins this.
And I think, Mike, you know, we've speculated on this show, like, who do you think CM Punk's first loss would be? Right. And I think we've also kind of discussed that for, you know, Bryan Danielson, too. Obviously, we're talking about Punk now. And I think there were a number of us who maybe said it makes sense for MJF to be the guy. I think we can certainly see it going that way now. Maybe not in a first run. Maybe they do a trilogy of matches, right? But they don't have to burn this all. You know, this doesn't have to be, you know, kind of like rocket fuel burned right away. They could do a first match and then kind of pull it back and then heat it up again. You know, they could do this a couple times to have a few matches. But do you think, you know, are you part of the thinking that MJF could be the first guy to beat CM Punk in his return?
I am so happy you asked this, because
does it make sense?
Yes, I do think he's going to be the first guy to knock off Punk. Just the way MJF has been trending, he's just been going up and up and up, and he really needs that one big win to sort of cement his way up into the main event scene, and there's no better way to do that than beat CM Punk. I mean, let's be real. MJF is literally everything we hate about wrestling heels, and we still love him for it, and we want to see him do well. But ultimately, I just want to see MJF ruin a good time. That's it.
Well, Mike, I think you know, like I do, that MJF is just better than us. And I know it. I think you know it.
Yep.
So we're okay.
I refuse to acknowledge it.
Well,
no, he's better than you, and you know it.
You do know it.
Refuse to acknowledge it.
Mike, he knows it.
He knows it. He definitely knows it.
Well, of course, as this kind of promo battle goes back and forth, like I said, CM Punk basically says, last time I was here, I gave everybody ice cream bars. What better gift to give everybody tonight is punching Max in his little needle dick, and they start to kind of square off. MJF takes his jacket, his scarf, and he's put his ring in his pocket. He's going to start rolling up his sleeves, and of course, true heel rolls out of the ring, not getting involved tonight. So they go to break, and we're waiting for CM Punk versus QT Marshall. We get that when we get back from the break, and I don't think anybody thought QT Marshall was going to be the first loss for Punk. Certainly was not the case tonight. Punk wins by pinfall with the GTS. Schlong, I don't know if you really want to comment too much on this match. Like, after that first promo, I couldn't have cared. I could not have cared less about what match was coming up with Punk after it. I mean, I think if anything, this will play into the narrative moving forward. Like, this probably should have been a guy that CM Punk put away a little quicker, right? But it took him some time. And also, during this match, QT had Aaron Solo and... oh my God, I can't remember. Camarado. Thank you. We're at ringside, and they had to be sent to the back, right? So I think this can all play into the narrative moving forward. Like, hey, good win over QT Marshall. Took you long enough, and they had to get rid of the guys at ringside before you could beat them. So I think that that's probably how that's going to play out. I mean, the match was what it was. It was, you know, it was a match after a super hot promo start. So I think I was spent, and sounded like most people in the crowd were spent. Schlong, anything you want to call out about this?
So I know this definitely puts me in the minority of people that I like QT Marshall, based on his work from Dark and Elevation and again, Sammy's vlog. And I watched the vlogs. I think he's got a lot of more personality than people give him credit for. And he's a good wrestler. He can have a match with anyone and it's good. They did him absolutely no favors by making his match is already going to be a rough form because people are like, oh, great, this. And then to go on after that promo does him no favors. Now, sure. I don't think he ever expects to be world champion because he's kind of like, he's more management in AEW than he is wrestler. They say he's Tony Khan's right-hand man. So, you know, again, I just happen to be a big fan of his from all the other stuff. And I think no one's going to come and say this was a classic, but I think people need to at least appreciate it was a decently solid match.
Yeah.
That you, like you said, has story implications because of how long it took, because they had to kick out other talent. So you're not going to have classic matches every match. There's just no way you can do that. And if you don't give us these other matches, one, you're going to end up just giving us a lot of rematches. So you need people like QT Marshall, and two, they still managed to tie it into a story, which is just perfect.
Mike, you want to call anything out about this match in particular? Let me ask first, Mike. I know that there were points where you were kind of in and out, right?
So yeah.
It's totally fine if you don't have anything to say. We can keep going forward. I think we've got everything out of this we need.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add, so...
No worries, man. No worries. Just shout out when you want to jump in, else we're going to keep this train moving.
Let's keep it going, baby.
Well, we move on to an interview segment. Tony Schiavone's backstage interviewing Christian Cage in Jurassic Express, where Christian says they have momentum that leaves you feeling unbeatable. And when you feel that way, good things happen. Jurassic Express is the number one ranked tag team in AEW, and they've been there before, but the difference is the momentum, the confidence, and Christian Cage, and he's going to make sure they win the tag titles and they go to break. So, Schlong, something I want to ask you, because we talked about this with Full Gear, right? Full Gear, Jungle Boy hits that concerto, and he didn't do it at first, and then he kind of, you know, he hit it for the win, but he looked a little unsure about it. Do we think this is going to be like Christian sort of going heel, trying to convince them to do heelish things to get the win? And maybe they don't go for it, so we see sort of like a Christian heel turn and something else go on. Like, this sort of feels weird to me. Not for a bad reason, but I'm kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of got me thinking that was the fact that Christian was like, oh, the difference now is momentum, confidence, and Christian Cage, and I'm going to make sure you get the win.
I mean, there's been a couple times in the story where I thought they were, like, not just with the Young Bucks, I guess the Christian Jurassic Express story where I thought Christian was going to go heel and there was going to be some conflicts. It's never happened. I don't know if they're having him necessarily go heel or if this is their attempt to take Jungle Boy out of the bland. And I don't say bland, but the only good guy babyface and making him a little bit tougher so that they can naturally step him up into that next level where he's got a bit of an edge to him and he's more believable against guys who you need that edge. I would be okay either story. I mean, at some point they're going to split this trio up. I don't know if they just split Christian off and Jurassic Express stays together. I don't know if they break the whole club up, but they definitely, I'm glad. One thing I am glad about is, so it seems like they have stepped a little bit away from making this all about the Elite versus Jurassic Express, which I'm glad. They need to kind of keep that story a little bit apart. If they want to go back to it in a couple months, whatever, but for right now, give them something else to work with. But I don't know where I saw that too. I don't know if they're just trying to make Jungle Boy that next level, or if it is, hey, we're going to have him kind of Christian go heel. And then I don't know if they're going to have the Jurassic Express go with him or if it's going to be the feud out.
Ryan, here's something that just hit my brain. I'm going to pitch it to you and Mike. Christian Cage trying to get Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy to go heel. And they're sort of heading towards the dark side. Who's the only one that can make the save? We all know it. The next belt collector 2.0, Marco Stunt.
That's Marco right.
Stunt. Come on.
It's got to be Marco, man.
Millionaire Matt's number one guy, Marco Stunt, pulls them back to the light. And he's the one who takes Christian Cage out. He's going to take all the gold. He might as well take out Christian Cage.
You know what? I'm 100% aboard this train. Let's do it.
The Mark Order Podcast, all of us are behind this. All of us. The two live crew featuring Top Mike, Kate, for sure. And, of course, Millionaire Matt is in on that. So we're in.
Oh, yeah. We know how much he loves Marco.
Loves it.
Yep.
All right. Back from commercial. Eddie Kingston cuts a promo calling out Daniel Garcia, but 2.0 and Garcia roll up while he's in catering to tell him how touching the Players Tribune article was. And it read like a guy that was satisfied, and that's great, but he's not hungry anymore. And 2.0 say they're there to help because he couldn't help Moxley. And that's what sets Eddie off. But then Garcia throws a coffee in his face. And Eddie starts to see red, has to be held back, and things break down. So clearly, guys, this is just kind of set up our Friday night match, Garcia and Eddie Kingston. But 2.0 starting to stick their nose in other people's business, and I don't hate it. I like 2.0. A lot of people are kind of like mixed on them, but I think they're great.
Yeah, 2.0 is just, they're so highly entertaining. You can't just not listen to them. They're a lot of fun. And, you know, and I do like the whole dynamic too with Eddie. I think it was last week or was it 2 weeks ago? It's like you're walking around with this 2 30-year-olds walking around with a guy that they call their son. Like, what is this about?
So, no, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't help but not get a good chuckle, and I'm 100% in on this. Like, let's go. I want to see more.
Yeah, I love 2.0, and I think this match Friday night could be fantastic. You know, Schlong, I've said it so many times. We saw Garcia live in Philly at the New Japan Strong tapings, and he's just so good. He was wrestling in that match with Brody King, and I can't remember who else, but it seems like everything Garcia did, Brody King was turning and going like, holy shit. Like, he's just so good. And I think that Shalong, I think we both kind of agreed that Garcia could be that sleeper, sneaky good signing that that kind of might go on. Well, not might go, but after the fact, now looking back, could be like one of the best signings they had, because Garcia can be a star, man. He's excellent.
Yeah. So like, I see Rob Humphrey, he doesn't get 2.0 and Garcia. Now I can get not getting 2.0. They're not definitely not everyone's cup of tea. I like comedy in my wrestling, so I love them. I mean, one of my favorite wrestlers is Orange Cassidy, so you see where I go on this stuff. And they're actually pretty decent in the ring, so I don't think they're awful. I will say, Rob, you seem to like in-ring stuff. I don't know if you've only watched Garcia in AEW, and he's had some good matches, but if you really want to like go see his stuff outside of AEW, he's phenomenal.
Awesome. I mean,
he is
so
just
good.
Yeah, and he's believable and he's intense. He's someone who they're using him with 2.0 because they need to group people up just to get people on TV. They have that much talent. But if you notice, he's always the guy having the big matches, and there's a reason. It's because he's that good. I think he's, like you said, and he's the sneaky good signing they made over this last year. He's one of the reasons. I mean, I know they're never going to do it, so I'm just saying, but he's one of the reasons I thought, like, man, they almost need that extra division of just guys like that, because he should be having matches regularly. Like, he's just awesome. He AEW has the kind of talent that like used to be in the cruiserweight division at WCW, which was something that we were talking about on Twitter today. It was kind of going around, and I realized how good that division was. Like, they have some of the best wrestlers you'll ever see, and he is at the top of that list. Not the very top, but towards the top of that list. Like, he can just go. So hopefully they need to mix him in with feuds like this, though, with someone like Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston goes such a different style that it'll help Daniel Garcia seem a lot more believable, a lot better for people.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before here too, that you know, like when this company started, right? Like, they had to start lining themselves up with the next kind of wave of the future, right? And those were the guys like the Jungle Boys, the MJFs, the Darbys, Private Party, you know, we named so many of those guys. Well, we're kind of there, right? Like, we're getting there with some of these guys. Jungle Boy's a huge part of the company now, right? A guy who at some point, you know, will be able to take a belt and carry some of the load. Hangman's there now, right? He's carrying the company. MJF, Darby, like, these guys are there. So now you have to start looking behind them now, right? Who are the other guys that can start to fill it in? Garcia's one of those guys. You know, Starks is one of those guys, and Starks is another guy we always talk about. We want to see more of Starks on TV. Yes. But Starks is one of those guys. He's a next wave guy, right? So I think that, you know, while we don't always see Garcia on TV now and we want to see more of him, we'll see more of him down the line. There's going to be no denying the fact that we're going to see more of him. He's so good.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. I mean, I'd love to see more Daniel Garcia. I want to see more Lee Moriarty. Mm-hmm. Just give me more of those guys any day of the week, man.
Yeah. They're so flush with talent. It's just crazy. And they're setting themselves up for the future. It's smart. Of course, we've talked about it here before too. It's like, well, what do you do when you have so much talent? Like, you can't possibly keep everybody. Yeah, and I guess when that time comes, they'll have to make some really tough decisions, but we're not there just yet, so let's enjoy it while we got it.
Yep.
So moving on from this, guys, we get Bear Country versus the Gun Club. Okay.
Sir, they're called the Ass Men.
Oh, that's right. Ass Men and Ass Boy, as Danhausen puts it, versus Bear Country. Let's just get to the end of this. The Gun Club win by pinfall. The Colt 45 from Colton Gunn on Bear Bronson. Post-match, Sting comes to the stage, and Austin is coming up the ramp to get to Sting. But Darby flies out of the tunnel like a goddamn, you know, bullet out of a gun. I don't even know how to put it. I mean, he just destroys Austin Gunn. I'm sorry, Colton Gunn. No,
he destroyed Austin.
That's right. My apologies. He destroyed Austin Gunn. I'm getting my Austin and Colton's mixed up. But then Darby comes to the ring. They start to get towards the Gun Club, but they start to kind of disperse, and that kind of ends right there. So my biggest problem with this, guys, is Bear Country jobbing out to the Gun Club, really? Like, that hurts me, because the Bear Boys are just so good. I know that they've dealt with some injuries, and you know, maybe that's kind of pushed him down. I don't know.
I've got a conspiracy theory about this. I'll share in a second.
Yeah. Go for it, Mike.
Share now.
Okay. So honestly, this is the biggest conspiracy theory I think we're headed. We're looking at Big Show, Darby and Sting against the Gun Club at some point. Like, I think we're headed. It would make sense. And with everything that's been going on, I feel like we're just a big, tall Paul away from a good time.
It would make sense from the story perspective that they've been telling.
Yeah.
Do I want to or need to see it? Probably not.
No.
It's just so, like, things like this, just, I kind of scratch my head because I'm like, Bear Country can be used so differently. And this just makes them look like complete assets. Ass hats. Excuse me. Not assets.
Gotta get the ass in, but
not right. Assets. Ass hats.
And we have Rob Humphrey going in chat. There's nothing I like about that match. Sir, there's everything I love about that match. It has everything I want. You know, it's got Mr. Ass, the Ass Boys, Mr. Ass.
That's right.
That's all sexual, you need.
Sexual
chocolate.
That's right. Sexual intrigue. Sure.
So yeah. Yeah, that's where we're gonna that's where we're...
So couple things here. One, Bear Country just had a great match on Dark and then had an awesome promo after, so I was a little shocked to see them go this route.
Yeah.
Because it was great. Now I will say they did try to sell this as Bear Boulder hurt his arm against the steel chairs and then the numbers got to him. They were kind of cheated. So it semi protected them because it wasn't a straight up match. There was a lot of extracurriculars. I don't think it protected them enough, but if you're gonna lean into that with Bear Country, maybe give them a promo explaining that, I can live with this. If you don't, if you just kind of blow by it, then I feel like it's a waste. There were other tag teams you could have used in this. You could have brought out Chaos Project. Like, Chaos Project is meant to lose. Bring them out there and do that. Darby Allin destroying Austin Gunn was amazing. That gif is going to be going around everywhere.
I want to find it right now.
It's on Twitter. Trust me, it's out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, I've seen it like 6 times.
Nice.
I will say this about the Ass Man and Ass Boys. And this goes back to the fact that I watched Dark and Elevation a lot. They have been much better as heels. They are much better on Dark because Austin Gunn does not shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That being said, where I think they've been growing on me in that regard, I do not think they're at this level yet. Like, I think they jumped. I don't mean this as a pun. They jumped the line. I was going to say jumped the gun, but I didn't want to use a pun. They jumped the line. And that's a first for me that I didn't want to use the pun. They jumped the line a little bit. Like, there were feuds in the, like, they should have had a real feud with Bear Country if you wanted them to move up, and not like a one-off quick match, like a real something. Like, this seems, or Varsity Blondes, who have some have had number one contenderships. Like, there was other teams they could have beat out before you work your way up to Darby and Sting. I will say some people were mad that J. Shill says Austin is a rapper. I think that's questionable whether you actually want to classify him as that. I will say people were mad that Billy Gunn kicked out of Darby's coffin drop quickly after one. They gave Billy the same treatment they've literally given every elder statesman wrestler.
Yep.
They are that step above everyone. Like, look at Sting. Sting no sells everything. Billy isn't at Sting's level, but he's still able to kick out of a coffin drop at one. Like, there's this thing that I actually really like about them, which is if you come in as like a legend in the business, we treat you like a legend, which is you're not going to lose that quickly. Like, you're going to, I don't want him in the matches though. I'd rather, if you're going to give me the Gun Club, give me Colton and Austin, like, let it be the young guys. Again, it's my biggest issue with this whole thing is I've been growing to like them. but I think they jumped the queue. Like, they should be having two or three feuds before they built their sorry, just saw Jake Shell's comment. I used rapper in that he rapped a song. Not that he's good. That's appropriate. But yeah, so that's, I'm with you. And like, if you're gonna have them beat Bear Country, make it a real feud. Like, yeah. Like, and imagine, and because Bear Country to me is a future championship team in that division. Like, they don't have many guys that that can go at that level. Now, there was a comment earlier, and I'm going to lose it, which is a shame. I forget who said it. Where the basic thing was that they think the one problem with putting Billy in matches is that he's deceptively big, and when you have them go against Bear Country, and I apologize for whoever made this comment that I don't remember who it was, but when you have him go against Bear Country, that all of a sudden it shows that they're like not as big as you think, because Billy is massive. Here's the thing: if you put Billy in WWE today, he'd be massive compared to almost all their big men. Like, he came from a time where there was always just massive men. And that's what made him unique, was not only was he big, he could go, and he actually got bigger since his heyday. Like, if you look at him when he was in that awful tag team with Chuck, they were huge, like literally physically huge dudes. Like, so I don't take that as too much of a negative, only because I don't care what promotion you put him in, there's only a handful of guys on any roster that would make him look small. Like, there's just, I think Omos might be the only one I can think of at this point, because, you know, even put him in the ring, like, he's just that big. But otherwise, I'm with you, Ant. They should not have done this to Bear Country. I have a whole theory that that's the purpose of Chaos Project. Right. Now, granted, Chaos Project are heels, so maybe you don't want them beating heels because you're trying to fake that whole good guy versus bad guy thing. Then you need a face team that takes losses like that. You can create that. It should not be Bear Country, who, at any given time, I think if they just give him a couple wins, is a legitimate threat, could be made into a legitimate threat to take the titles quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they were at one point kind of like being set up as the monsters, right? And now they're losing to the Gun Club. It just doesn't kind of jive to me. But we've spent way too much time on the Ass Man. After this, they move to, they tell us the Battle of the Belts is happening on TNT Live January 8th, so stay tuned for that. Adam Cole and Bobby Fish cut a promo backstage talking about how everything has sucked lately. They're practically family, and that's when the best friends come past. And they start to bicker, and Cole says that they're going to prove that he and Bobby Fish are the real best friends around here, and they go to break. So clearly, we're lining up the match coming up Friday night. We'll talk about the Friday night card at the end of the show, at the end of the rundown here. So we'll get back to that. Back from commercial, Shivani is providing over Team Taz's contract offer to Dante Martin. And Taz tells Leo Rush, who is there, he has no idea why he's there. And Leo says that anything to do with Dante goes through him. And then Martin goes to sign the contract, but Leo tells him he doesn't want any part of it. And then Dante takes the pen, signs the contract, takes some popcorn. I think it's that cheddar popcorn from Hook's bag that he offers him. And Leo Rush and Taz are a little bit of shock, but it's a win for Team Taz. Guys, the reason I want to call this out is, actually, I'm going to throw this to Ryan first, because Ryan, you're our resident dark guy and you've been on Dante Martin for quite some time. I think we're all pretty high on Dante Martin. Were you surprised at this? I was definitely surprised.
Never saw it coming. Just FYI, on Twitter, Leo put out like a business thing, like looking for people to join my team, and Dante Martin replied with the Taz thing. You know, so... I don't think this is a simple story of him joining Team Taz. You know, there's the argument that Taz didn't actually look at the signature, which in AEW has been a thing where like people sneak things into contracts, or I don't know if they're going that route, but they might. Or I'll steal, she's in the chat, so I don't mind throwing Jay Shell out a theory that like the story is that Dante just doesn't like uses people and leaves them, uses people and leaves them, which is an interesting story if you're looking to turn Dante heel. Or my theory, which is he knows everyone's trying to use him, so he's using them back until his brother comes back. And it's like, I know you guys just wanted to make money off me. I'm always waiting for my family. Here we are. Or this is just, there's, I mean, or he's staying with Team Taz and it's a story I can't predict. I mean, there are so many possibilities here. The best part of it is the matches that will come out of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he could tag with Ricky Starks and that'll be phenomenal.
Well, just even if you go singles, imagine Dante versus Leo Rush. Just imagine that fucking match.
I was just about to bring that up.
Or if you have him go back to being with Leo, just and have him Dante versus, you know, Ricky Starks, or Leo versus Ricky Starks.
Yeah, I mean,
you're talking.
I mean, the other thing, I'm sorry, Ryan. The other thing I want to float out there, and maybe Mike, what are your thoughts? My thought is maybe that Dante is with Team Taz until the point when his brother gets back. And then maybe Leo tries to use his brother to kind of get him out back out of Team Taz.
I like it. And I've kind of been on the whole fence about this, really just kind of thinking about it. I mean, I like the whole thing that you just brought up, and with Leo using Darius as kind of like a patsy to try to get him to come back out and rejoin. But if we're going to go that route, can I get a Dante versus Leo match, please? Can we do that?
I think we have to do that. I think that would be incredible. I mean, when they tagged together, they were great working together. So them working against each other would be awfully, awfully good. Also, don't hate this idea from Rob Humphrey. Dante and Hook, new tag team. Sign me up. No, first of all, Hook, in my opinion, could easily be the foil to Belt Collector 2.0. Hook could be Belt Collector 3.0. Once the torch gets passed from Marco to Hook, man, Hook gang, baby. That's where we're going.
I don't think anyone's ever taken that belt off of Hook.
No. Ever. They'd better not give any belts to Hook, because they're never going to get it off.
That's right.
Hook's the guy to get all the gold off Marco, and then that's it. Just shut the company doors, because you're not getting them from Hook.
You're both wrong, because they're never going to let Hook wrestle because they're afraid that people will die.
It's
a legitimate point.
He'll kill people, and they're very afraid of that, and so they'll just never let him enter the ring. He'll just have to be a pretty face walking down the aisle, but I actually kind of feel bad for him. Like, his first match, though, that he has to walk into.
Oh, God, you know he's going to get so much heat, and it's going to be incredible.
Hook gang, baby. Don't sleep on Hook. He's coming.
He's coming.
That's right. He's
coming.
So, guys, we move on from this to the Jamie Hayter Thunder Rosa TBS Championship Tournament quarterfinal match. We're going to talk about a couple of things here. Let's cut to the finish real quick. Thunder Rosa does win by pinfall with a victory roll pin. What happens kind of towards the end of this match is there's some interference from Rebel, getting, of course, fucking Rick Knox, on the ring. She's able to cause a distraction, and Britt Baker jumps into the ring. She's able to get Thunder Rosa to unhook the Peruvian necktie, and then Hayter is setting up holding Thunder Rosa for a super kick. Thunder Rosa is able to get out. Britt Baker super kicks Jamie Hayter, and that's why she's able to get the pinfall. Post-match, Hayter does have some issue with Britt Baker. She storms off on her own, so this is sort of lining up something else we've kind of talked about, Schlong, where we think Hayter's going to leave this group and go off on her own. So they're kind of sowing those seeds. But, gentlemen, can we talk about one thing I would love to talk about that happened early in this match that may be like a passing thing, but I clutched my goddamn pearls. The slap Thunder Rosa laid on Jamie Hayter.
Oh.
holy fuck.
Like, Thunder Rosa is the shit.
She is the shit. My God. Like, I turned to Mrs. Money, who was sitting watching it with me, and I just was like, did you see that? And she was like, I did not see that. I was like, well, they've got to show a replay. Something. And they didn't show a replay, but dude, what a slap. I didn't mind this match either. I thought it was a good match. I thought this was one of the better matches I've seen Jamie Hayter wrestle in AEW. Yeah.
Oh, agreed. And
I think it's probably got to do with the level of competition in the ring with her and the fact that Thunder Rosa can kind of carry a match and carry matches better with people who are a little more skilled in the ring. We've seen some matches with Thunder Rosa where some of the opponents weren't as skilled and they seemed clunky. This one worked.
Yep.
This one worked. Mike, let's go to you first. What did you think of this?
I loved it. I loved it beginning to end. Loved it. I mean, to me, yeah, you can call me a Thunder Rosa mark. I don't care. Thunder Rosa is the shit. Everything, like, there's just something about Thunder Rosa that just clicks on television, and it's one of the more unique experiences, but it's also one of the more fun. And I want, like, if this kind of segues into, I'm not saying it will, but if this segues into an AEW Women's Championship, maybe this could be the seeds that start it. But, I mean, I'm sort of willing to see how the rest of the TBS tournament goes. But, I mean, if there's grounds to start something like that, well, you just laid the seeds. So I'm willing to see this through.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is what sort of like, Schlong, we've talked about kind of how we think this tournament's going to play out. And I think at one point we said, like, well, this is where Thunder Rosa makes her exit, right? And it's going to be because of Britt, and now we're going to start to build to Britt Thunder Rosa at some point next year. Didn't happen, so it's a little bit of an interesting turn. But like, I'm sort of with Mike. I think they're kind of laying groundwork at some point for us to get there, because I think it's been pretty common knowledge that we're going to get there in 2022. It's just a matter of how. I guess, Shlong, my question to you is, like, what did you think? Were you surprised at the outcome of this match? Because I sort of was. Like, I honestly didn't think we were going to get Jade and Thunder Rosa in the next round.
I was very surprised, to be quite honest. Because, like you said, this was the easy, in terms of booking the easy out. You have her get cheated out by Britt, and then all of a sudden that reignites their rivalry, and boom, you're off to the races. That being said, Kyle Sparks said it in the chat, and it's actually, I was gonna say it anyway, I could almost still see Britt ruining her match against Jade or someone else.
Yeah,
because maybe they didn't do it here because it was too predictable, like that Hayter would be the one that it happens to. So you want to do it to, you know, to stop this match from making this match seem like it has a shocking outcome. Because what you don't want to happen is, I don't want Thunder Rosa to take a clean loss in this tournament and then go after Britt for the title, because that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I don't often like the interference losses or something like that, but this is one where you absolutely need it. You can't have Thunder Rosa take a clean loss then go chase a title. I think Hayter might be like an intermediary feud for Britt to save time for Rosa. But then again, it really depends on when she costs her the title. Does she do it against Jade, or does Rosa beat Jade and you go to does Britt cost her the TBS title? Because you can't also have Rosa hold the TBS title and go after Britt, because then that ruins the TBS title instantly.
Though, so I wouldn't be opposed to Rosa two belts.
Yeah, but you can't do it the first time, because then all of a sudden you're saying, like, in order to feel important, you need to have the women's title, which is what they haven't done with the TNT. The TNT has been the most important belt for anyone chasing it, rather than, you know, the way WWE, and I hate to trash it, but the way they killed a lot of their mid-title belts was by basically saying, like, it doesn't matter if you have these, you want this instead. Whereas the TNT has been so protected because it's like, if you want have the TNT, you don't care about the world title because the TNT is just that important.
Yeah.
You need to do that for the TBS. Now, this all lends into what we were talking about with the TBS title tournament. You now have Rosa versus Jade, and I think Rosa is likely going to give Jade one of her best matches, unless they just don't jive, which happens. I mean, people, chemistry isn't always there, but Rosa, like we said, clearly carry matches. I could see Rosa being the one to give Jade her first loss. It would give Jade a loss. You'd have to take her from somewhere there. Like maybe that's how she fires Smart Mark and goes with someone else to upper training or something like that. It also, you know, Rosa is as legitimate of an opponent as you could lose to. Like there's no one, like even Britt is viewed as on par with Rosa, not like super above her. So there's no one you could lose to that's better.
Yeah.
But then you come to the champ. Do you want to have a cheating? But then you come to the championship match, and maybe they don't have Rosa going after Britt, which then I don't understand. Like there's some ways out of this I don't get. A lot of people still want either Soho or Statlander to win the tournament. I'm good with either. I think Soho is who I would choose on that.
Yep.
Because I don't think Statlander needs it right now. Not that Soho really does, but I think it helps Soho a little bit more just to be like, hey, I came in, I was the big free agent signing, and here I have a belt. Aunt, you and I are really big Jade Cargill fans. For what I want the TBS title to be, she's not it. I'd almost rather her see go after Britt and be the women's title because you can defend it less. You can just do a lot of talking segments, all the stuff she's really good at, and give me the TBS on my TV on an almost weekly basis having a match. I don't want Jade to beat Rosa. I like Jade. I just love Rosa.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Rosa getting to the finals and losing clean to, you know, Ruby or to Statlander. Like, I can see that. And it's still, I don't think it would hurt, depending on how they did the loss. And I think it would make the other woman look super strong. I don't think Rosa needs the TBS title. Doesn't need, to be honest, she doesn't need any title right now. I mean, would it be great to see her with the women's world title? Sure. But does she need it? No. She's so over. I mean, her look is great. Her skill set is great. Her ring gear looks good. Like, she's got everything going. She doesn't need a belt. So I don't know if Rosa loses to Jade. To me, it's got to be a dirty finish. It's got to be. She can't lose clean to Jade. If she's going to lose clean, it's going to be in the final, and it's going to be a hard-fought battle to Statlander or Ruby Soho. That's just
how it goes. Then she can't go after Britt. Like, you can't lose to Statlander or Soho and then go after Britt because you can't, like, at least not immediately. Now, I guess if they're really waiting a long time to pay that off, that's a whole different story.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you there, Ryan, 100%. If she loses clean, she can't just immediately put herself in that title picture. She would have to be goaded into it. There'd have to be something where Britt is sort of like, you know, instigating her to kind of go for it, right? Like Britt being Britt. But I still think that has to be a slow burn. It's not like lose, you know, Britt picks on you and now you're going for the title, right? Like it's got to be a long story.
Real quick, I don't know how many X-Men geeks we have out here, but Thunder Rosa just tweeted X-23 is going after Storm. So that is such a great deep comment. Because Jade is Storm. I mean, I don't care what anyone tells me. When she dyeing her hair white, she's like the perfect person who plays Storm. Thunder Rosa calling herself X-23 is just amazing.
That is awesome. I love that.
Yeah, so I just, again, there's I'm not complaining because in any sense I love that there's four women who in one form or another have star power. Jade, obviously not in the ring, but everywhere else is legitimate and huge star. And then you have Soho, Statlander, and Rosa, all huge stars. Rosa being the most over, the biggest star out of all of them. But Soho is right there. Statlander, not quite yet, but if they put her more in a solo fashion, she could be. I mean, she's amazing. So at the end of the, again, the reason I don't want Jade, and I'll say it one last time, is the TBS title could make so many women on this roster, like TNT did for men. Ricky Starks, Eddie Kingston. Sammy even benefited from it. He didn't need it, but like there's Miro. I was blanking on Miro, which is why I was kind of buying time there a little bit. Like it made people on this roster just so much better. So imagine what it'll do for the women if you're having the same thing. So that is kind of my hope, is that that's where it goes. But I'm interested. I mean, yeah, there's no question. They have my interest. I want to see that match. I want to see what Jay does. I mean, if Jay goes out and has a fire match against Rosa and then has a fire match in the title scene, I'll be like, okay, let's see what she can do.
Right. Well, there's a lot of spoons in the porridge, as Millionaire Matt likes to say. So we'll see how this plays out. But our next match is going to be Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander for the next quarterfinal match. Backstage, we get Jericho being interviewed by Marvez. He says that it's Thanksgiving Eve right in Chicago, and he's about to kind of go off, and then guess who cuts him off? It's 2.0 Daniel Garcia, and they're celebrating the fact that they threw coffee in Eddie Garcia's face. Or Eddie Garcia. Eddie Kingston. I'm thinking about the feud. Eddie Kingston's face. My God.
Feud.
Jericho calls them all jackasses, tells them to go to the hardware store to buy things to protect themselves for when Eddie Kingston breaks into their homes tomorrow and kicks their turkey asses. He also mentions that Matt Lee's head is so square and says if they interrupt him again, he'll knock their teeth down their throat. And we go to break, and Jericho says, I swear I heard Jericho say, it's like a Rubik's Cube, which was... made me chuckle. So who knows, maybe we're gonna get a little 2.0 Daniel Garcia versus Jericho, maybe Eddie Kingston and somebody else. Maybe they'll kind of work something like that. Interesting. But 2.0 sticking their nose in other people's business again.
Love it. That's all I'm gonna say.
I want more 2.0 on my TV. Give me more 2.0 on my TV. This is a great way to get more 2.0 on my TV. Keep doing this.
Yeah, I had no problem with this. I thought this was fun. They go to commercial and come back with Tony Schiavone, Britt Baker, and Rebel hanging out at their Friendsgiving table. And Britt says that things started off horrible with Thunder Rosa winning, but she's thinking positive. And one thing has gone right, and that's that she's still the women's world champion. Tony's thankful for his friends at the table, but he does have some bad news. He shows video of the all-out battle royal, and Riho never went over the top rope. She went through the bottom rope. So he said that on Friday, Riho is getting a non-title match against Britt Baker, and if she wins, she gets a title shot. Britt does not like that, but unfortunately, Schiavone tells her that it's already been booked. So she lets him know that he's ruined Halloween and Thanksgiving, and he's not invited to Christmas, and they're not going to do the DMD. He's ruined it. So, Schlong, Mike, you know, the video footage is there, right? Riho was never eliminated, so she's going to get this shot. I don't need this. I don't need this, and I don't like Riho.
You're not a very big fan of the Yoshi girls.
I don't like Riho. I don't believe that she
gets cheers, man.
People I don't give a love shit. Her.
But you
Riho is so love over. Her.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know you don't, but lots of people do.
Who cares? She's like 12 pounds.
I just said lots of people do. She walks out, she gets a shit ton of cheers. She is a very over baby face.
I don't want this. I don't
you just,
want
I mean,
this.
At the end of the day, you don't like the Joshi girls. I get it.
She'd
That's
better.
Fine. Schlong, style.
I love her.
She had better not fucking beat Britt Baker on Friday night.
I hope she
really
does.
Do you think she's beating Britt Baker on Friday?
Yes.
Do I think she is? Can I see them doing that? Yeah. I can't
do that. They don't. They never do that.
Can I see them doing it though? Because she's a past champion. Yes,
they don't.
But she should not.
They don't do this in AEW. They don't have their champions lose. Yeah.
I just don't want it. I'm nervous about it. I don't want her to even sniff a win because I don't need a championship match. Rio versus Britt Baker. I don't really want to see it for a shot. I don't want to see it for the belt. And if Britt Baker's supposed to be this badass champion, Rio should have no shot. But it just, I'm worried. I'm worried about this. I'm going to lose sleep.
I know. I obviously don't know anything, so this isn't a spoiler when I say I would almost guarantee this doesn't happen.
I can say this with full confidence. Britt Baker's not dropping that belt to Riho.
Oh, I don't think she's going to drop the belt, but she shouldn't even sniff a loss here. They can't have her lose a non-title contender match. Even if she does something stupid like decide to get counted out, right? Because she maybe can't beat her and then we'll have to go to a I don't want to see anything stupid like that. I just want this match to be over and I want Britt to win. That's it.
The only thing I could see, the only reason I could see Riho even potentially winning is if they're just looking to draw it out for another week. And I mean, it would be a way to do it, I guess, while you're still trying to load up on who's winning the TBS, who's going in on the TBS title. But I could see it. But I don't think it's going to happen.
My only fear is that we have to get somebody possibly for a match at Winter is Coming.
Yep.
Or at the Battle of the Belts. So this is an easy way to do that. That's my only fear. That's why I have a fear of Britt actually losing this match, because then they can book this easy for one of the other shows. And again, this is just my problem, I think, with where Britt's at right now, and it's not her problem, but it's that they just don't have her engaged in a long-term story. They really don't. The closest thing they do is Thunder Rosa, but she's not really engaged because she's in this tournament, right? Yeah. So it's just a lot of talk right now. But we don't have to spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah.
I'm just nervous.
We don't, because it's not going to happen, so we're good.
Yeah, you'll be all right, dude. We'll get to hang out with the DMD. Oh, sorry, I didn't do it right. DMD.
We're not doing it tonight, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We weren't doing it tonight.
I'm sorry. My name's not Tony Schiavone. We can do it.
Oh.
She doesn't want to do it tonight.
Wait,
you got to go backwards.
DMD. All right, there we go.
Anyway.
I hope you're proud of us, Britt.
Please be proud of us. We go to the American Dragon, Brian Danielson versus Colt Boom Boom Cabana. And again, I don't think anybody thought that this was going to go Colt's way, but the American Dragon wins by submission with that LaBelle lock. And what was a little bit of an awkward tap out. I get what they were trying to do, like that he passed out, but he sort of tapped. He doesn't break the hold right away. And the interesting thing is he finds a tooth on the mat. And they do go to break. This is what I was talking about before, guys, when I said maybe Danhausen should have been awarded that tooth. He does collect teeth. He has a jar of teeth.
I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't hit up Danielson already to try to get that tooth.
It would be a good one for the collection.
I'm going to double check and make sure he hasn't yet.
But back from the commercial break, Shivani's interviewing Danielson in the ring, and he says it's funny because when he debuted in Chicago, he got a match. He got a much different reaction than the boos he's getting tonight, and wonders if it's him or the crowd. He has one word to describe them: fickle. And he said it's not fickle. He is not fickle. He said he was going to kick Cabana's head in. And not only did he kick his head in, he kicked his tooth out. So next week they're going to be in Atlanta. And there are several members of the Dark Order from Atlanta. And he will kick any of their heads in, leading up to the ultimate head kicking in of Hangman Adam Page. And that's where the champ makes his entrance. And he says he gets it, and Danielson did what he said he would do. But that's where it's going to end, because he's ready to defend that title right there, right now, against him. And Daniel says, of course he'd want to do that after he already wrestled in a match. That's not cowboy shit. That's coward shit. And Paige says that if he doesn't want to do the match right now, he's not going to leave Chicago without a fight. And since Danielson just had a match, he lets him take the first shot. But Brian tells him he's not going to insult him like that. And then he hauls off with a palm slap to the face. They get a little bit of brawl. The dragon dumps Paige out onto the apron. Paige is able to get up a boot, and he goes to throw the buckshot lariat, but Danielson runs away. And then we get a hype up for some matches next week we'll talk about in a bit here. But, Schlong, what'd you think of the match and the post-match here?
Match was good. I think people forget that Colt Cabana is a good wrestler because he's so much personality anymore, and he's kind of like that elder dad joke wrestler, but he's very good. I mean, he can have a match with anyone. The post-match stuff, I mean, Danielson is a great, he is great on the mic. Yep. The Fickle thing is a throwback to his WWE days, where he, one of his heel runs there, he called him Fickle. I always love that because there's a bit of a, he's a bit hypocritical in that, which makes me laugh because that's great heel stuff. The Hangman coming out and just willing to fight him right there was awesome. It was great. To me, my favorite moment, though, was when Danielson rolled out of the ring afterwards and he had like a shocked look on his face that Hangman almost kicked the shit out of him. Like, that's some good selling where you can see that he maybe didn't respect Hangman enough, and now he respects him a little bit more. And it's that small stuff that Danielson does that I really appreciate. What do you think, Mike?
I actually thought, you know, my first thought is that Danhausen actually does have a tweet up where he gives him his P.O. box to send the tooth.
Hell yes.
So, yes, we have confirmation on that. Overall, what did I think of this whole match? Yes, it was great. What did I think of, you know, the aftermath? Just really, I mean, if this was just like a little sample size of what's to come, then I'll take it. I'll take this little sample. How dare you, Tony Khan? Like, yes, give this to me. But I mean, just seeing that ferocity that has honestly been out of Hangman's game for a little while too, and just seeing that come out and seeing the way that Danielson reacted. I mean, I'm on board. I mean, I was on board beforehand, but I'm on board.
Yeah. It's also great. What I love about this is, and I said it last week, but I'll say it again. We've talked on the show about, the fact that we wanted to see Kenny kind of run through the Dark Order. And I think now, knowing all the injuries that Kenny was dealing with, that's why we didn't have him run through the Dark Order. So it's great to see Danielson saying, I'm going to run through him. I'm going to take them all out until I get to Hangman and he won't have his friends. You know, I love it. So I'm good with that. I love this whole thing. Let's see who he gets next week. I think there's a couple options. So nothing's been announced. We will see it at some point next week. They do hype up the cards for next week. We'll talk about the cards after we get past the show real quick. But we get to our main event. Andrade El Idolo, FTR, and Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes and the Death Triangle. So, guys, a couple things about this match. First of all, let's cut to the finish here. Andrade, El Idolo, FTR, and Malakai Black get the win. It's a pinfall with that hammerlock DDT from Andrade on Pac. After Pac gets the mist thrown in his blown in his face, which is just crazy in a post-COVID world to think about, by Malakai Black. I say post-COVID, but come on, we know we're still dealing with that shit.
But yeah, I was going to say we're still in it.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm licking doorknobs, people.
Oh, schlong. Ooh. Not only doorknobs. Schlong said he's licking SEPTA bus handles and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's... Oh, God.
No, that gave me chills because I thought about it.
So, well. Look up who it is.
What's up there? Cumstains?
Oh, my.
We thought you were dead.
You were supposed to be dead. We thought Ree had you buried.
Oh, sorry. Well, I just wanted to stop in and say happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Matt, say hi to Mike Peterson.
Hey, hello. Mike. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good.
That's awesome, man. I get to see Matt tonight. This is like the best thing ever.
Wow, no one's ever said that.
Nobody said it.
And I will probably say it again the next time I come on.
Well, I don't want to fuck up the flow. I just wanted to...
Trust me, you have not.
I mean, I see the American males are here. It's very exciting.
I was very glad you came on to see that.
Slam your grandma.
All right, slam your grandma.
Right.
Well, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Matt, you can hang. We're just getting to the main event. I know we're busy and stuff tonight, but then we're going to bullshit a little bit and talk about some other stuff.
Well, I am still working, still prepping.
Okay. Well, then you go do your thing. But it
I
was
just
good
to
see
stop in and say happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Well, thanks.
Happy
Matt.
Thanksgiving, Matt.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Matt. Hosting.
Matt, before you can leave, can you please tell me one thing you're thankful for?
I am thankful for the Mark Order podcast and the wonderful community that we have built here at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I got mine too in the mail, buddy.
Are you thankful for these guys?
I am 100% thankful for them.
I opened them earlier. You can see if you ever go back and watch this, which I know you're not going to, but I got to plug it. They sent me each one of these in a separate giant box. Giant box.
So mine came too.
But, well, Matt, that is a lot to be thankful for. And I guess thank you for, 10 years of Shining Wizards programming. I was able to catch some of the show Monday. I have to go back and watch it on YouTube. But it sounded like a fantastic show. Wish we could have had some big blowout party, but maybe for 11, we'll have some kind of giant party.
Yeah, we will.
A big one.
Oh yeah. The biggest you've ever seen, buddy.
Ooh.
Woo-hoo.
I guess my StreamYard, invite got lost in the digital mail.
For what?
For the Monday night show. I was supposed to have a slot on the anniversary. Anniversary show. I guess it got lost in the mail.
Definitely. You know what? It was
my fucking shit again.
It was here Sunday and you never picked it up.
You can text me on the side about that, Matt. Nothing I want to discuss here.
I'm just ball busting son of a
bitch. No, I know.
Matt got him good on that one.
No,
yeah, that was good. That was good.
I'll loop you in. I know, Matt.
Jesus.
Look at this. It's all fucked up.
Mike, a pleasure finally putting a face to the name. I hope you.
I know.
With these two jackaloons, and now I have something to look forward to listening to.
It's been good for real. No,
I want to hear now. I want to hear what Mike brings to the table. Maybe this is my out.
This is your out, Mike. Mike is your coverage. We were hoping that Mike would be Hollywood's coverage at some point.
I mean, eventually she's gonna just do fucking two podcasts a day and burn out. So
yeah, clearly we know it's coming. But well, Matt,
sorry I fucked up the show.
You didn't fuck anything up. This is great. I'm glad I got to see and say happy Thanksgiving.
Oh well, good. I like your scary hockey man.
It's Casey Jones, man.
Looks like a very scary hockey man. I don't know.
Do you know who Casey Jones is?
Nope, never.
Matt, you hurt me there.
Matt, do you know what this T-shirt's from?
No.
I didn't realize how 80s nostalgic I was. It's from Teen Wolf.
Yes, that's Mega Man. I see Mike Peterson's got a Mega Man.
That's right.
I still don't know who Flat Hockey Face is.
It's Casey Jones, man, Casey from the Jones. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Never heard of it.
Oh, my God. Jesus
Christ. You hurt me, Matt. You hurt me deep.
Oh, man, my childhood is crying.
How can I can't be hurt with Scotty Riggs looking right over your shoulder.
That's true.
Look at them eyes peering into and my Buff. Soul.
That, yeah, that's true.
Fuck Buff Bagwell. I said it. How do you? Fuck him.
I'm not going to make an argument against that. So
you could, hey Matt, if you pay him enough, you could fuck him.
I'll pass. I'll pass. I have heat with Buff Bagwell. Okay.
Well,
he was caught in a lie.
Oh, he was.
Oh yeah. He was on the podcast, the Shining Wizards podcast back in its infancy. Mm-hmm. He said he was maybe in talks with Dixie Carter, TNA. We ran it. And then he said we were liars. And then another podcast pulled the audio and played it for him. And he was like, humbada, 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 humbada.
And then my good. Fuck him then.
Yeah. And then my new buddy, Kiwi, was going to beat the shit out of him while he was rocking his Shining Wizards t-shirt, that Alan Funk. So I'm all about it. Fuck Buff Bagwell.
Well, there you go. But you got Scotty Riggs' bedroom eyes looking at you.
I'd rather his eyes looking at me than listen to him talk. Because all he Boom. Does is fucking hey, talk. Girl.
Giving you them eyes.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to go back to slaving away in the kitchen. We got
all right.
corn pudding we're working on now.
Ooh.
Carrots are in the pot, the crock pot that I didn't break.
Nice. What about the other crock pot?
Nothing there yet.
Wow. Man. Okay.
This thing is shot, huh?
Yeah. You're fucked.
I think he did it.
Oh. Well, maybe it's time for a new soundboard. All right. Good night, y'all. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for dropping in. Good to see you.
Nice to see you guys. Mike, a pleasure. Yeah. I'm very excited. Hey. Very exciting for me.
I know.
You made my Thanksgiving. You should probably burn that Red Sox hoodie, though.
That's true.
I'll see you guys later.
Bye, Matt. Pleasure as always.
David Ortiz is a cheater. Fuck him.
Sorry, Mike, you're not going to have anyone here defend it.
I am more than ready for this. If this was my trial by fire, I am ready for it.
Well, we should add Kate on for the Yankee fan.
Oh, God.
I mean, yes. I'm a Yankee yes. fan.
Or, I thought you were Mets. I'm sorry.
No.
I get confused who is what.
Schlong, why would I root for
a college baseball team?
Man, your camera's blurry.
He does make a point, though. You do root for the Devils.
Yeah.
A college hockey team.
Yeah.
Not true. Not true at all. We've got Cubs.
Didn't you just have the first pick in the draft a couple of years ago?
We've had plenty of first picks in the draft. We get lucky.
You've got Cubs, and you've got like three fans. It works out.
That's not true at all.
I mean, Kevin Smith is one of those three fans. So is David Putty.
From Seinfeld.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we've got two, and Ant is three. We're there.
All right, there we go. Oh, see, it's even in his name, number three. So that's not just a random number. That's just the number of Devils fans.
We've got plenty to celebrate, you guys. We've got those awesome third jerseys.
You beat me to it. You fuck.
I love it because it's just
jersey.
They're terrible. I just don't understand.
Pants will say pants.
I don't understand why they just wouldn't put the logo on the front of it and invert the color scheme on the entire jersey. It's one of the best logos in sports, and they take it off of the jersey. I don't get it. Also, as somebody from New Jersey, I hate when people just say Jersey. I never say I'm from Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. I'm not a piece of trash. Okay? Thank you.
See, anyway. I say I'm from South Jersey, so I always have another word.
Trash. See, Mike? Trash. Just I'm lowbrow.
Even... You're from... Oh, yeah, because North Jersey is known for its class.
New Jersey. It's New Jersey. I never say Jersey. I hate that.
You know what? I'm just happy here in my wonderful place right outside Boston. So,
oh boy, that's a whole different world. Anyway, let's go back to the main event. We've already cut to the finish, right? The heels take the win. But there are a couple things here, guys. We also had a couple moments with the managers, right? So, Tully and Arn, oh my God, I can't remember, Schlong, Abrahantes, sorry, and the other gentleman, I can't remember his name, Jose. I think it's Jose, right?
Yes.
Okay. So they had their moments, but guys, the biggest moment that I honestly don't know anything about, I missed it. How did Andrade lose his pants?
And we were talking about this on the Discord. We don't know. Like, they just magically disappeared.
I literally at one point said to Mrs. Money, wasn't he wearing those pinstripe pants? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what happened to them? And she's looking at the TV, and it was picture in picture, so it was hard to see. But she goes, well, that's Pac. I was like, no, that's not Pac. Pac is on the far side of the ring. I said, you know, close ring, that's the heels. That's Andrade. Where's his pants? There was no explanation. I don't know what happened. Did anybody see anything? If anybody's watching, or if anybody in our chat knows what the fuck happened to his pants, can you comment? Because I have no clue what happened to his pants. Really took me out of this match.
I think they ripped, if you want my honest opinion. I think they ripped, and he wears trunks under, and he figured, just go with it. Because you're right. I watched. I rewound it. I literally went back. I was like, all right, well, as soon as you guys pointed it out, I'm like, I didn't even notice. So I went back, and 1 second, he's on the screen in pants. He goes out the ring, like off, completely off the apron, nowhere on camera. And then next thing you know, he's in his trunks. So my guess is that his pants ripped, and it just would look stupider to wrestle in ripped pants, or they ripped in such a way that was just going to mess with the way he could go.
It was just so weird.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was like, it was just, he was there and he was wearing pants, and then he was gone. And his pants disappeared, and it was just like he went and he took a stroll to Narnia to deposit his pants, and then just decided to come back.
It was really fucking weird, but I kid, that's not what took me out of this match. And there really wasn't a lot to take me out of this match. I thought there were a few segments that were kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
And where things sort of broke down a little bit. I think there were just a lot of kind of styles in the ring. And again, I think this was a match where it was like, guys, slow down. Everybody slow down. Just take one step and slow down. But guys, I think we have to talk about it because it was a huge part of this match. Cody Rhodes comes out. He gets booed again, right? So he's getting booed. And he is on the ring apron. He does what he always does. He takes his belt off. The crowd's calling for it. He throws it into the crowd. He hucks it. And they throw it back.
That, I missed that. Yeah, I just saw the belt in the ring. And I'm like, what the hell? Then I see Andrade go to grab it. And he throws it where his pants are. You know. Right back into Narnia.
Maybe you should have put it on. It would have held his pants together.
Maybe.
But yeah, Mike, the crowd threw it back. And, you know, Andrade did grab it kind of from the corner and throw it under the ring. You know, clearly it needed to be taken, right? It couldn't stay there. But, and then at the end of the match, he puts the belt back on at one point, which was awkward. And commentary actually said, like, that's awkward. But he puts the belt back on. And then at the end, he kind of tosses it, I guess, to some kid or somebody in the front row. They look like they held on to it. But people were clearly yelling for them to throw it back. I'm going to ask this question again. And I've asked it to Ryan we've talked about it, Mike. I'm going to pose this to you since you're the new guy.
All right.
What the fuck is all the hate with Cody, man? We don't get it.
I'm with you. I don't get it. I guess, you know, you could go and talk about how genuine he seems in some of his promos, which, I mean, yeah, you can kind of knock it and say, well, no, not very, but I don't get it, dude. Cody's constantly putting guys over. He's constantly, you know, he's doing everything he can to get the other guy over. Like, and everything he does, like, pretty much reflects that. I don't get the Cody hate at times. I get it when it's necessary, but I don't get it in, say, something like this. Like, I just don't get that.
I've never seen, well, maybe I haven't, I just can't recall, but that was just so crazy to have that belt thrown back in the ring. Like I said to Mrs. Money, you couldn't get me, you'd have to clutch that out of my hands before I threw that back in the ring. Like, that would be something I'd keep. I just don't get it. Like, Schlong, did that shock you? Did that reaction shock you? That was one of the most over-the-top reactions to Cody I think I've seen yet. The boos are one thing, but now we're really showing the hate.
I don't think that the throwing the back belt back was hate, though. And I don't think it was like they love him. I think that guy held on to it. He didn't, like, it wasn't like a baseball at a, like, when the opposing team hits a home run and it's just instantaneous throwback. He caught it. He sat down. Because I went back and watched that too. And he looked very happy. And then I guess someone said something to him. And I think in his head, he's like, oh, this will be really cool. I'll get lots of cheers. And he threw it back. I don't think it has anything to do with hate. I think it was a fan trying to, without being the really bad type of fan who jumps a barrier, more the type that, like, I'm going to get myself involved in this show. This is a way to do it. Obviously, Cody has a lot of hate. I've said it a million times. I don't understand it. I know, Jay Sheldon, she didn't directly reference it, but she kind of did, his promo about, like, having, you know, an interracial baby and all that. I get all that. The only thing I'll say about that is it wasn't a good promo. I think we got on here and we're like, I don't quite understand what the hell he was talking about, but I can at least appreciate that I think he had the heart in the right place, just the mind in a completely wrong one, which I can always forgive a guy when it's like, I don't think you meant harm. I think you thought you were helping and you weren't. Jay Shell's also pointing out that the crowd chanted throw it back. So see what I'm saying? Like, he was given
in. No. I'm with you. I'm just saying in the perception of throwing something back.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, the thinking now about things I've seen in the past, I think the last time I saw something like that was probably the last WWECW pay-per-view where Cena was fighting for the ECW title, right? And he took his shirt off, threw it into the crowd at Hammerstein. I think it was Hammerstein. And then they threw it back and he threw it into the crowd again and they threw it back again. Like, you know, the crowd was not in on Cena. The perception of throwing something back is, you know, we don't like you. So that's the perception. I know what you're saying, Ryan, like the guy was goaded into it, right? Throw it back. You know, you throw it back and
it's almost become like a booing Cody and doing this stuff has almost become,
it's a meme.
Yeah. I don't know how many people actually feel that way anymore, as much as it's a thing to do. Like, he's become that guy. Like, kind of like I feel like that happens to wrestlers every now and again, where, yeah, they're obviously didn't get here from nowhere. People had their feelings about him, mostly that he was burying other wrestlers, which isn't true. Oh. But I think then it became a meme unto itself where people are like, well, now we just must boo him and we must hate. Like, it's like, I don't get it. But I definitely think they know, like, he's not blind to it, because he apparently Aubrey tweeted out, like, he has said before that sometime that belt is going to come back. Like, he knows what's happening. He sees it. He just, he, he's leaning into it in a really interesting way, which is he's not leaning into it at all. And I kind of love it. Like, he's, let's see where he goes. Also, because I don't want to forget, Jay Shell did tell you what happened with Andrade's pants. It had a split in the crotch. Best to figure out when he threw Phoenix into the turnbuckle, and it just kept splitting. So I think at that point, he's like, I either have completely torn pants or I wrestle in trunks.
I mean, that's where he obviously took that left turn to Narnia and deposited his pants.
Never to be seen again by man or beast. Right. Well, either way, I thought it was a pretty fun show. You know, for a night before Thanksgiving, the crowd was lit up when it needed to be lit up. You know, and we'll see what Friday night brings. The card that is announced for Friday. Sorry, I thought I had it pulled up here. Let me just pull it up real quick. The card for Friday night is Eddie Kingston versus Daniel Garcia. We knew we were getting that. We're getting the Britt Baker versus Riho, where if Riho wins, she gets a title shot. And we're getting Adam Cole and Bobby Fish versus Wheeler Yuta and Orange Cassidy. They also announced that on Dynamite, we'll get the TBS quarterfinal match, Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho. They did mention that more matches will be announced Friday night for Wednesday night Dynamite next week. I guess tune into Rampage to hear some of the other matches that are going to be happening next week. So that was Dynamite, guys, and we're going to start to roll this train into the station, but just a couple things to note from the prior week. Obviously, Kenny Omega, we know, is dealing with plenty of injuries. It wasn't sure what was going to happen with this AAA title because he was the champion. But it was announced on Monday, November 22nd, that Kenny is officially vacating that main title, the Mega Championship. He's wrapped his story with Hangman. He's going to have several minor surgeries for his injuries. He hopes apparently to be back by February 2022 in some capacity, but no one really knows for sure until he's going to have apparently shoulder, knee, abdomen, and possible septum procedures done. So he's got a lot of work, and we said it last week, the reports were that he was wrestling with vertigo for a number of matches, which is just crazy. Because he's not a mat wrestler, right? He's flying around doing all sorts of crazy shit.
I wouldn't be doing this if I had vertigo. Let's just be 100% clear on that.
I don't know if you guys have ever experienced vertigo. I think I did once or twice.
Hold on. I just want to bring up something that Asian Joe just brought up in chat.
Oh, sure.
That he thought that maybe I could fill in as Kenny, you know, as the AAA champion. I mean, I'm for that. I mean, as long as I get my matches with Hijo de Vikingo and Psycho Clown, we're good. We're good.
Okay, but I expect at least one moonsault.
Well, duh. And a shooting star press. You got
to. But before the match, like, I need to see it like on video before we're willing to sub you in.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll get my PR team to do that for you.
Okay, as long as we're clear.
So that was announced on Monday. And then later, AAA did post a video from Kenny Omega saying where Kenny was saying that the promotion took the belt from him rather than postpone his next defense. And he did vow to return to face Vikingo or whoever wins that mega championship in his absence. So clearly Kenny is not done with AAA. I'm sure he'll come back and do a couple more dates when he's clear to wrestle. But, man, he's got to get better. Let's get him better.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what he's got because he still can go, man. But he's got to be 100%. Yeah. The other weird news from last week was that John Jones announced that he would be competing for the number one grappling organization in the world, Fury Grappling. And he said that December 9th, he'll be in New Jersey competing against WWE superstar and undefeated Bellator heavyweight Jack Swagger, which made me scratch my head because I was like, who's Jack Swagger? And, you know, I don't recall him being in the WWE. But later, Hager did come out and say, first of all, it's AEW on TNT's and undefeated Bellator MMA heavyweight Jake Hager. Secondly, no terms have been discussed or contract signed. We can talk if terms are right. Fury grappling did an official with Fury grappling, anonymously confirmed that Jones versus Hager match is planned for December 9th, but obviously planned and booked are sort of like two different things. So I guess maybe we'll see. I can tell you this, guys, that when I saw that was announced, I tried to look up Fury grappling New Jersey December 9th, and I could not find where this is supposed to be taking place in New Jersey. Now, maybe things have changed because I looked for that on the day that he put that tweet out, and there was nothing I could find out there about Fury grappling in New Jersey. So who the hell knows? I just thought it was funny that he clearly knows everything about his opponent because he's wrestling Jake Hager, or he's grappling Jake Hager.
Sir, it's actually Jack Swagger.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, Jack Swagger. My apologies. I got it wrong. So we already talked. Winter is coming. So stay tuned for that. That will be December 15th. That's taking place in Garland, Texas. So it should be interesting to see what happens there. And then a couple other things to note. One is that The Butcher suffered torn biceps during his tag match on Dynamite against Orange Cassidy and Tomohiro Ishii. Not really sure what the status is on The Butcher, but he's dealing with some injuries right now. So we'll see what happens. He did, I see, perform with Every Time I Die, I think the following weekend. So can't be that bad if he can play guitar, but wrestling and guitar playing are two different things. Rob Humphrey said from what he can tell, December 9th is supposed to be at the Hard Rock Hotel in Atlantic City. That's cool, Rob. I just found it odd that I could look up the date and the promotion and not find any sort of information on where that was taking place on the date that they announced that huge match. Let's see. And the last thing here I had was that sorry, I'm all over the place here again. It was stated that on the Battleground podcast, Rocky Romero had said that Kenny Omega contacting New Japan had led to Kenta coming into AEW, and that even though there was bad blood over Omega leaving New Japan, Romero did say that Omega reaching out was a huge step towards opening that forbidden door. So good on Kenny for reaching out and doing what he had to do. And sort of maybe, I guess, non-AEW related news too. I did see today that I think it was today or maybe yesterday. Looks like Johnny Gargano signed a 1 week extension with the WWE.
I saw this earlier.
He did. Yeah, yes.
There were no future plans beyond that. So there's a lot of speculation. War Games
is coming up.
Right.
Since I know you don't watch NXT, Matt, I do just because I want to understand the jokes that they watch on the post show. But War Games is coming up, and he's a big part of that. So they did it with Cole, too, to get through one of their pay-per-views. Well, not pay-per-views, but one of their big shows. It's kind of like, I mean, most people think he's gone, and 1 week would indicate that. You could also make the argument that he actually plans on staying. They're just hammering out the details, and he wanted to be on War Games, so he knew he had to do this. The more important fact is Kyle O'Reilly did not sign an extension as of yet, and his contract is up Tuesday, which means Wednesday he could show up at AEW. Not saying he will, but literally Joel from Fightful was literally saying he could drive that night and end up there. So there's some interesting news. After you're done the story, there's this ongoing story I think we should bring up.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Shlong. That was the last.
So apparently it was actually mentioned in the chat, but I saw it on Twitter. It affects the Gun Club. Austin Gunn had apparently in 2013, when he was 17, tweeted using the N-word twice. Or maybe more than twice. There was just two pictures taken. He's come out and apologized, but I don't know more of this, so I'm not going to give more of the story if there's going to be any repercussions. Obviously, typically there are when you say something like this. I don't know if the fact that he was 17 and he's now apologized will matter. I'm not the one who's in the position to give any kind of forgiveness or say how to handle this. Clearly, that's by people who are actually impacted by the use of that word, should be the ones making those decisions. But it is important. One, there's obviously important societally, but in terms of wrestling, the Gun Club was getting some kind of push here, and this could derail it if they determine there has to be some repercussions for this. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I did see that story going around, but I didn't really get a chance to look into it. I saw it breaking kind of as we were on air. So thanks for bringing that up, Ryan. Yeah, I mean, you know, you put stuff on the internet, it never goes away. You got to answer for it. So,
yeah, I mean, he did. And I will say, I read the apology while we were talking real quick, just so that I could be informed. He owned it. He didn't try to defend it. He just said, I was young. I was dumb. I should never have done it. I've grown to be a better man. Again, not on me to be the one to accept that. People that know him and that the community that gets impacted in a harmful way about that, that's for them to make that decision. So, but I wanted to bring it up because, again, Gun Club could be the NYC of Gun Club for a while.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's it. That's all I got, gentlemen, for tonight. And, Mike, I don't know what you got going on. If you want to give out any of your handles, maybe see if anybody wants to give you a follow.
Yeah. But,
feel free to plug anything. Go ahead.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, you can find me over on Twitter at LOL Mike Peterson. And I do game from time to time. So if you want to find me over on the Twitch, twitch.tv/LOL Mike Peterson. You can always talk to me I'm usually on Twitter all the time, so you guys can always hit me up there. Yeah, I love talking to new people. I especially love talking wrestling. So, you know, hit me up.
For sure. Hit up Mike. He's awesome. And Mike is also very active in the Shining Wizards Wrestling Discord. You guys know Matt, who jumped in before, is part of the Shining Wizards and the Mark Order podcast. The Shining Wizards, who just celebrated their 10th anniversary, and they do their show live on Monday nights. So make sure you check them out. You can find links to the Discord on their social accounts. The Discord is awesome. There are so many wrestling chats going on for just about any promotion that's out there that you could care about. The big ones, the AEW, NXT, New Japan, Ring of Honor, MLW, Retro Wrestling, everything else, GCW. There's just so many things there to talk about wrestling wise, but also there's a music channel. There's a general channel where we talk about just about everything from video games. There's a book channel, a music channel, you know, memes. We do it all. And it's a nice community. You know, if you play nice, if you're not an asshole, you are welcome. We are a welcome space for everybody. So definitely jump on in and take part if that's something you'd like to do. Schlong, what are you doing on Monday and Tuesday nights?
I am live tweeting Elevation and Regular Dark because I have no life and I'm watching them at that time. So follow along. If you're looking for commentary on the commentary on Monday, you won't hear it because I'm listening to the Shining Wizards. But yeah, follow along. Mostly positive takes. Also contained to his, you know, not kill people's Twitter feed, so I'm not trying to give the super in-depth match discussion because I can't, otherwise it'll be like 30 tweets per match and people will be really annoyed with me.
Well, but that's why I'm there.
Well, yeah, that's true. I just kind of give the highlights and what I think is funny about each wrestler. But that's what I'm doing, and you can follow me at Mark Order Pod because I don't do anything for myself, and that's about it.
Well, like Ryan said, you can find us everywhere at Mark Order Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Hit up our YouTube where all these videos are available. You can go back and watch them at any time. And thank you to everybody who watched us live tonight. Thank you to Jay Shell for hitting us up in our DMs. I'll be sending you out some stickers. These stickers you see here. So if you would also like some stickers, you can slide up in our DMs. Just send us your name and address. We will ship them anywhere in the world. So you let us know where you want some stickers, and we'll send them out to you as soon as possible. If you want to follow me, I'm on Instagram at AntMoney247 or on Twitter just at AntMoney. Yeah, I got in early enough to get that one. Yeah, check us out on the Shining Wizards Network. Excuse me, I almost blew that. Check us out on the Shining Wizards Network every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Schlong, we also have a couple places we're going to be, but I know you're not going to be with us. We're going to be at the Dynamite in Long Island coming up in December. So if you're going to be there, let us know. We're also going to be at Ring of Honor Final Battle in Baltimore coming up in December. So let us know if you're going to be there. We'll also be at the Newark, New Jersey Dynamite, which will be the first Dynamite on TBS coming up in January. So let us know if you'll be there. And we're also going to be at GCW. I think we secured tickets to GCW today at Hammerstein. Hit us up if you're going to be there too. So we're going to be out there at a whole bunch of shows. Let us know if you'll be there. We'll have some stickers with us too, so you can get stickers live in person. But guys, I'm thankful that you decided to spend your night with us. Not only you guys here, Schlong and Mike, but everybody who watched us on YouTube. If you're listening in podcast form, we totally appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Subscribe, like, comment, rate, whatever you do, wherever you listen, so that we can help. It can help us show up in the algorithms. But if you'd like to watch what we do, you don't have to just catch us live. You can go back to YouTube or Facebook or Twitter and find the video feeds and watch us later. So guys, that's going to be it. I hope you guys both have a wonderful, safe, healthy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Try not to get killed on Black Friday.
I'll be working.
Oh, good.
I don't go anywhere on Black Friday. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And so Schlong and good night.
Oh, I also want to say this, Schlong. I think we should seriously thank Mike. Thank you for joining us tonight. We just thought it'd be fun to have another person on with us since it was just us. And you were awesome. A lot of fun to hang out with. And
Schlong, likewise.
Schlong, I don't know if other people know, this is like the first time we're talking with Mike, like correct. In person.
I've never I tweeted with him in Discord, never talked to him.
Yeah.
Like,
or so this was awesome, Mike. Like
pictures
this now. Was seriously a lot of fun. We're really glad you could join us tonight. And we'll look to have you back in the future when we need some people to kind of fill in. So thank you for joining us. You were awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a lot of fun tonight, so this was definitely a good time.
Cool, man. Well, that's going to do it for us. Again, from all of us at the Mark Order Podcast, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week on the Mark Order Podcast. Top Mike, I think you're out.
Top Mike out.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.